Blog Talk Radio.
Psychic X Journeyman here on Psychic X Journeyman Spiritual Link. Welcome to the show, and how are you? If you want to get a call in here and get a reading, please do so. We're sorry for the delay and the late start, but like we always say, forgive us. It's been a crazy day in the situation of work, 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 you know? So therefore, like I said before, you want to call in and get a reading, please do so. 740, no, I'm sorry, that's the wrong number, isn't it? 646-721-9031. Again, that number is 646-721-9031. Or if you want to call for private readings, call 719-632-6257. It's my private office and where we do the readings at in person. So please do so. Or contact me through my website at www.psychicxjourneyman.com. That's my website. And today, this July specials are 90-minute session for $77. So therefore, the idea of doing past life regressions, or if you want to do a combination of three little situations, you know, three sessions, well, how we put this, it's the ideal three things I do, like palm readings, angel card readings, relationship counseling, anything like that, past life regressions. You know, 90 minutes gives you a chance to do a lot of things in one session, so therefore do that. And we also have a special going on, too, with that, where it's $77 for a 90-minute session. But actually, if you purchase four of those sessions at one time, it's only going to cost you $150. So therefore, you'll have four sessions to use anytime you feel like it, okay? Also, the situation, we also still have the special, $75 for 75 minutes. We also do parties. We also do group readings, too. And we have all kinds of different prices on that, so don't hesitate to give us a call, and we'll give you all the details. Okay, we're also doing these things now where it's called Manifestation Meditations, where we sit down with you and work with you, five sessions. And you can actually get those five sessions all at one time, because it's usually, what is it, $25. $25 for a 30-minute session. Actually, it's a dollar a minute, so it's $30 for 30 minutes. But if you get the five, but if you go ahead and purchase the five sessions for the meditations, which is five sessions, we'll cut you some slack on that too, and it'll only cost you $100. Okay, so therefore, think about that as well. And if you want to do it one-on-one and do it one at a time, you're more welcome to do. We also work through Skype, too. If you have a party that you want us to be there, or a group reading, we can do those on Skype as much as we can do them in person. Okay, so if you're in the Colorado area, there's the number for you right there, 719-632-6257. We'll be there. Okay, and if you have a charity function that you're looking for some entertainment and you would like to have us there to do readings and that kind of stuff, please contact us at 719-632-6257, and we'll be glad to be there. No charge. We don't charge for charity functions. We just show up, and the idea of helping you manifest your goal of what you're trying to obtain that day, all right? If you want to contact me through Skype, contact me at my Skype name, which is donald.reed8, all in small letters, and the 8 is actually the figure 8, okay? Also, you can call me if you want to. You can also call me through Skype at 740-601-9835. Be glad to sit down with you to know everything else that goes along with it. And what else was I going to say? The idea, we also work with couples and children. We do relationship counseling and life coaching. Usually we work with you hand in hand with IDEO. But also you can go to my website. Everything there works through PayPal. If you don't have PayPal, you can use a credit card. All you got to do is go to my website and click on a button. It's as simple as that. And if you can't get the buttons to work, just go to the donation button. I guarantee if you go to the donation button, it'll work every time. And they even ask you, PayPal or credit cards? Debit cards are the same thing as well, so keep that in mind too. But we do healings. I have healing sessions, too. We have a 90-minute healing session, 60-minute, and 30-minute healing sessions. And right now, you can actually, the 90-minute sessions are going for $135. But we'll also give you a special on that, too, $77 for a 90-minute healing session. So therefore, try that one. And then the 60-minute ones in 30 minutes. I never really thought about it. 60 minutes, $60. 30 minutes, $30. Very simple, very, very right to the point, get it all done, okay? But, you know, the manifestation meditations teaches you how to manifest things in your life and how to do it at will and have a higher success rate in the idea of what you're trying to do. All right, so give me a call. I'd be glad to sit down with you and talk to you, work things out. We're also looking for people to donate to the show and sponsorship. All right, so if you want to be a sponsor of the show, it's simply a $45 fee a month to sponsor the show, and if you have a service, a product, whatever it is, we will promote you. We'll promote you, your service, or your products, whatever it is. And it's a simple fee of $40, $45 a month. Simple. So therefore, give me a call at 719-632-6257. And again, that number is 719-632-6257. Or contact me through my website at www.psychicxjourneyman.com. Go to the information page, drop me a line, drop me some information on everything you need to know. Okay, if you want to do email readings, we also have email readings this month for $25 for 5 cards and 3 questions. Very, very inexpensive, so therefore I think anybody can take advantage of those prices. And it's one of those things, too, I can work with anybody's budget. So just give me a call. If you're on my website or you feel like you should do a reading with me and you have a budget and you have a certain amount that you can use, don't hesitate. Don't let the prices that you see on my website hold you back. Look at them. Say, okay, woo, this guy, you know, you could say inexpensive, but I look at the ideal. This guy is worth. This guy is worth what he's charging. I've heard him. I've done that thing, so I think I should get a reading with this person. Okay, if that's the case, then just call me up, and I guarantee you we can work together, and we will find where – ever it is in your budget and whatever you got to work with, I guarantee if you call me, we can work with it. I've never turned anybody down, so therefore, get it in your head and do it. All right? Let's go back to the switchboard. Okay, we got some... Oh, shoot. What happened there? Don't you love it when that things happen? All right, let's go and look at some situations. I was sitting there going, guys, if you look at the ideal, your relationships and that kind of stuff, if you're sitting there looking at somebody or the situation and you just want to run away from that person and you come to the conclusion that he's this woman or guy, woman or female, okay, male or female, whoever you're with at the time, okay, realize if you look at that person and say they're wrong about everything, but that everybody else seems to listen to them and think they have great advice, they have great insight and that kind of stuff, but you're not listening to it, well, you should ask yourself, what's the threat? What are you running away from? And then go from there and check it out, okay? You know, because everybody who crosses your path is a reflection of you about yourself, so therefore it is a learning experience, you know? There is something to learn from everybody. Not the chosen few, but everybody. So keep that in mind, too, as well, okay? All right, let's go to our first caller. That'll be area code 850. Welcome to the show, and how are you?
Hi, how are you doing?
That is a good question. I was sitting there looking. I was actually working on a site that I work on, which is Oranum, O-R-A-N-U-M.com, where you actually see, when you go on the website, you actually get to see the person who's doing the readings, because I'm on webcam. And I'm sitting there working going, I keep looking at the clock. I keep going, why do I feel like I should be somewhere?
Wow.
And it just dawned on me, oh, shoot, I have a radio show tonight. And I don't know what it is. I get caught up in working one-on-one with everybody that we got to sit there and take a step back, don't we? And sit there and look at the situation going, okay, what's the problem? If there is a problem, it's just the ideal.
Yeah, it can be like that.
Maybe I need a vacation. So, sir, I think we've talked to you before, haven't we?
No, I've never talked to you before.
Okay, I'm mistaken. Maybe it was in a past life.
Maybe. Well, possibly, since we're talking now.
Right, so what's your name, sir?
My name is Kennard Farmer.
Bernard?
Kennard with a K.
Kennard. Okay, sorry.
No problem.
So how can I help you tonight?
I just want to do a general reading.
Okay, what I'm going to do here, when I do this general reading, I have a deck of cards here. This is a romance deck and a life purpose deck. We actually put them together as one deck. So let's pull out, let's do a mini reading for you in the process of pulling out 3 cards for you, okay?
Okay.
All right. Let's take a look at the situation. I'm going to shuffle the cards. And all I need from you realistically is when I'm done shuffling is for you to tell me should I cut the deck or leave it the way it is, okay? So let me shuffle. And I'm going to sit here and go over this thing very quickly in the process of shuffling this deck. And as we're shuffling the deck, also focus and actually pay attention to what you are focusing on in the process of the reading and the information that comes out, okay?
Okay.
Man, I got a headache. All right. I've been instructed to stop shuffling and for to ask you if you want me to cut this deck or leave it the way it is.
Cut the deck.
All right. Let me get my big axe out. I'm just kidding. All right. Okay, we got the cards. Whoa. You know, it might sound crazy, but it's showing that your life could be really enhanced by certain outside activities. And they're talking about stretching and exercise, but they're also saying if you want to simplify the whole thing, then focus on some kind of form of yoga.
Hmm.
All right. And it also shows a focus. It says the next card was the attraction. It says attraction. You attract romantic love by enjoying this moment fully, where it's the ideal that you're, when you look at the cards and they're saying that the focus has to be on you. When you look at the yoga and exercising and stretching, it's focusing on you. It shows a lot of focus on almost everything else is getting your full attention. But in some ways, they're saying that you attract everything you need in your life by focusing more and enjoying the moment that you're in right at this moment, which means to enjoy yourself. Because the next card I got was free yourself. Free yourself from all this freaking hassle. Not hassle, but it's more like freeing yourself. And then the next card was kind of back in what I was saying, where it says, take time to take back control of your life and realizing how much power you're extending to everybody else in the process of everything and how it's unfolding. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, I can dig a lot of that. You know, I actually been had set a goal to like get up and try to work out in the morning, like go walking and stuff. But I've been trying to lose a little weight. I'm kind of getting up there a little bit and, you know, health issues kind of things kind of going. So I've been trying to, you know, do something that'll, you know, kind of make things a little better, try to eat a little better. But I could use a gym plan, but I just had been like, I don't know if I can afford it really, and then am I going to stick to it? So I've been up and down about, like, doing that. And like, as far as myself is concerned, I play music and sing and stuff, and it's one of my passions, but I haven't really been out there doing it like I want to do as of right now. Just kind of been, you know, in the background a lot of stuff.
Well, they were focusing on the yoga. Yoga, you know, the exercise and stretching, the process of doing yoga, you actually are actually doing both. And there's, I found some DVDs of my own when I was at the library. And it's kind of amazing, the information you can actually get at the library and DVDs and that kind of stuff. Plus, I also found this book called The Ancient Secret of the Fountain of Youth. And this book actually has five, and there are six exercises, but they usually emphasize on the first five first before you get to that sixth one. And it's simply just doing these exercises in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And then going on with your life. And it's actually been shown that these exercises are stretching and working and strengthening the muscles and that kind of stuff to the point where you're tapping into your inner strength and realizing that's where the fountain of youth is at. So it's by a guy named Peter Kelder. It's spelled K-E-L-L. Okay, hold up. For some reason, I'm seeing the letters, but I'm saying it wrong. It's by Peter Kelder, which is K-E-L-D-E-R. It's called The Ancient Secret of the Fountain of Youth. I got this on Amazon, I think. I think I only paid, I want to say, like $1 or $2.
Mm.
And it's actually it's actually in the U.S., it's a $12 book, $13 book.
Okay.
I got this one, and I have a tendency to go on a lot of books. This one here really jumped out where I do the exercises, but sometimes I don't do the exercises, and I definitely do notice a difference when I do them. And they're simple. They're simple exercises where what you do is you'll do you work your way up to doing them 25 times, 25 repetitions a day for each exercise. But you also take the five exercises and you do them one right after another, and you go right back and do them again. But, you know, the thing is, when you first start doing it, all you got to do is five times. You get on, you do the exercises, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then each week you increase it until you get to that 25. But, that you know, that's the extent of the whole thing. Sure, there's a way of changing the diet and that kind of stuff, but I think in the situation of really tapping into your inner strength and inner you, you will know what you need to do for yourself health-wise. The body has a way of talking, and we identify with it. And when we have deficiencies in our body, we know it. It's amazing how we have a tendency to allow ourselves to be out of control in the process of eating things that we know we shouldn't, when our body tells us what we should be eating. How come we can't, you know, sit there and go, okay, I can't do that, I shouldn't do that, to the point where I think I deserve it? And you're like, okay, if you say you deserve the dessert, then how come you don't deserve the rest of it by having a healthy body too? So sometimes it can be a contradiction. So it's the ideal stepping back and looking at that, going, okay, am I or am I not doing that? And just correct things accordingly. Because it's like in the process of certain things that you're not too sure about, when you focus on those things and feel more confident about those things, then it seems like relationships that we're already in have a tendency to also enhance. And if we're not in a relationship, we seem to attract a certain person into our lives very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at these three cards, it says, you know, free yourself. Take some time. Take back your control of your life and say, okay, this is what we're going to do. It. When you walk in the grocery store, your angels are saying, don't eat the brownies. And then you tell yourself, okay, I got the guidance. I'm not going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe to the point of saying, okay, what should I get? I knew when I first started doing that, too, the idea of sitting down and I was eating a lot of eggs, but I was only eating egg whites. And I was sitting there going, okay, these egg whites have no flavor to them at all. And my angels and guides came on and said, okay, try ketchup.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, when you look at the calorie intake from ketchup, it's not that high. So it's just the idea of adding a little flavor, you know, that kind of thing like that. But, you know, we have to realize one thing when it comes to eating, we're all looking for this pleasure that goes along with it. But there should be certain meals that we eat today that have to be taken in, and the idea of maintaining our body and the idea of obtaining ultimate health. And also make sure our thoughts. Yeah, make sure our thoughts and our mind is also along with that too. A lot of people can gain weight no matter what they eat because they think whatever they eat, going to gain weight. And it's all in the mind. And it's like the idea, once you change the mind and the comprehension, next thing the body has a tendency to do what they do. I was there talking, we talked about this before, where NASA figured out that what really backs up manifestation and your thinking, you know, change your thinking, change your life, it actually showed in the process of visualizing running down the street, not physically, but mentally focusing on that thought, the brain and the sensors that usually light up when you're actually doing the activity were still lighting up.
Mm-hmm.
So it was showing that it starts at the brain and the idea of your thinking and your thoughts, and that it manifests as long as you allow it to, then what you're imagining you're doing, you will physically be doing too. So it's the idea of taking that step and say, okay, what do you see yourself? Don't focus on losing 50 pounds, because realistically what you're doing is you're focusing on losing that weight.
Mm-hmm.
What you should be focusing on is the outcome. Where do you want to be at? You want to weigh 125 pounds, or maybe you want to weigh 200 pounds. That's what you do. That's your goal. That's your outcome. So you focus on that. So in your mind's eye, what you picture and what you feel is what would it be like to weigh 200 pounds and live that. And then your body will basically, in the process of manifestation, you will take it from the thought and actually be living that. Because there's some people out there, doesn't matter what they freaking eat, they're always focusing and saying, I always will see myself weighing 200 pounds, or I will always see myself weighing 125. And then they have a tendency, even when they get older, they don't. They stay at 125. And we see this around us all the time. It's just the idea of trying to take on that and say, okay, I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a thought. It's just to conceive a thought, you know, saying, okay, we can do this, you know. Because what we were talking about the other day, the ideal relationships and that kind of stuff, if people are, you know, are not really, if they're listening to everybody else around them but not listening to themselves, then they're basically, their perception and how their life is going to be lived is through everybody else's perception except for their own.
Yeah.
Because that's where they're thinking, that's where their energy's at. So in the process, what's going to happen usually is that they're not listening to themselves. So when they don't have those people around them, they feel lost because their foundations are built upon everybody else's foundation, not their own. So the sign would be to me to sit there and look at them and go, okay, well, instead of feeling sad because you don't have a foundation, it's like anything else. When you change things and you decide, I'm going to build a house, and you were going to build a foundation, well, you forgot to build a foundation and you're getting ready to go into it, and someone reminds you of the whole thing, and then we take that advice because it's so sound, but it's the same thing with life too. Go build your foundation.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a lot of things happening, and a lot of things are going to change in your life before August.
Well, I'm looking forward to that. I'm definitely hoping, because I kind of been going through a little, it's kind of been strange from my voice has been kind of shot lately, and I haven't been able to really do anything, even if I wanted to do something, but it kind of made me, you know, really kind of step back and look at the way I was just doing my type of smoking a lot and, you know, stuff that just wasn't healthy if I'm going to try to be a singer. So it's like, you know, I had to step back and just say, okay, I gotta stop if I'm going to ever, you know, make a change and really make this something that I really want to do. But sometimes I have a hard time actually saying I want to do that because I'm really kind of quiet a lot of times, but I'm a visible person, but then I can just not be out there. So it's hard to actually make that commitment to say I'm going to do this as a career, you know. So I'm having that.
No, I'm just saying, because when I was looking at the cards, it was saying justice and freedom. And see, people realize that justice is the ideal of fairness, you know. Your career brings fairness and protection to others who need your help. So the ideal why you're going down that path is it's very clear. But it also says you're free to do what you choose. That's freedom. Freedom is the idea of realizing that you make the shots. You make the choices. Addiction is addiction, basically, when we say we can't stop from doing things and that kind of stuff, is the idea we're feeding into a fear, that we feel like we need to do those things anyway. So therefore, it manifests into a, I have to do this. We're not realizing at that moment we've given our power to that addiction, to whatever we're focusing on at that moment, which in reality we're not focusing on ourselves. See, when you focus entirely on yourself, not in a selfish way, I'm saying focus on loving who you are, loving you solve certain issues and that kind of stuff. What's the one thing you need to do to let go of these things is the ideal service to the world. When we give service to the world, what we're doing at that moment, more likely we're doing something we really love to do.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a tendency to forget. And the process, I've seen a lot of people do this when they're in services, child services, your social services, even the idea of metaphysics and that stuff. People are constantly giving their love and their attention and they're giving that service. And then they say, okay, well, I'm supposed to help the world. Well, yeah, you are, but guess what? You live in this world too, and you're not helping you.
Mm-hmm.
You need to sit down and look at the situation and go, okay. Because a friend of mine was sitting talking about how hard it is to smoke, how hard it is to quit smoking. I said, no, it's not. And the reason you think it's hard to stop smoking because the world says and uses the word addiction. So therefore, it's a justification to keep doing what you do. Well, I'm addicted, man. You know, and I hear that a lot from people. I mean, like one person said, I'm going out there nailing everything I want, but you know, man, I'm addicted to this situation, so I just keep doing it. I said, okay, Tiger. you know, and you sit there and you go, why don't you just admit to yourself, all you're looking for is justification to keep doing what you want to do, even though you know. Because this is a proven fact that the excuse that you're creating here is keeping you from where you really want to be, which is the ideal, tobacco-free, smoke-free, you know, the ideal of anything that's controlling you, you know, because we sit and talk, I saw someone that yesterday where I said nothing, no one or no thing can hurt you. So if you're in addiction and it's hurting you, it's because you're allowing it to hurt you. And it's also been said that addictions are actually a craving for divine love. Okay? Yep. So when you sit here and think about that, divine love, how can you have divine love? You can't be loved until you allow yourself to be loved, which starts with you allowing yourself to love yourself. And so therefore, once you allow that, then everything else can come in, which then you find out it was always there. God's always loved you. The people around you who really do care about you have always loved you. And once you get that addiction and push it to the side and realize the divine love you've been craving has always been there, you're allowing an excuse to keep something there that's actually blocking that out. So when it says you are free to do whatever you choose. So if you catch yourself saying, you know, like one person said, you can't choose who you love. Yeah, because you're supposed to love everybody. Mm. I love this song. I heard this song the other day where it says, the sun doesn't choose who to shine on. It shines on everyone. When it rains, it doesn't choose who it's going to rain on. It just rains on everyone. So when we pray, we shouldn't just choose certain people to pray for. We should pray for everyone. Now, in the process of that one little phrase at the end, when you pray for everyone, don't forget to include yourself, because you're still a part of that everyone, and you live on this planet, and you're trying to make a difference in the world. You live in the world, too. So if you don't make a difference within yourself, how can you make a difference in the world? Because like I was telling people yesterday, and I've told them many times, when you heal yourself, so do you heal the world, one person at a time. But it starts with you first.
Yeah.
And you're going to see such a change in your life, it's going to throw you off going, this is possible? Yes. So how are you?
Yeah, that sounds very good. I've been that's really been my goal as of lately, just to try to, you know, get myself in order and a lot of stuff. Because, like, I've been going through a lot of different changes over the past year, and, you know, and I haven't been able to truly live the, you know, the life that I want to live. But, you know, I know it starts with me and all these different areas. And, like, with just the weight and, like, the cigarettes and all that kind of stuff, it was just kind of a, you know, it was almost definitely a blockage, because it's like when you're smoking heavy, I got to the point where I barely could even talk for about 2 weeks. I'm like, hey, what's wrong with me, y'all? So it's like, you know, why am I doing this to myself when I know this is, you know, this is like what I do, and it's kind of like everything else isn't as good as my vocals are. So I'm like, well, why would you just destroy that? So I've been going through just a little fear of like, all right, will it come back? But, you know, it's got a little better as of late. So I just said needed to rest and to lay off of it. But it's in the process, I couldn't really get out and do anything. I had to just lay low. So when I really wanted to do something, I couldn't do it. So it kind of, you know, it's a bit of a good learning lesson for me to, you know, take more value in myself and don't allow anything to come in and destroy what I have under my own doing. It ain't like nobody else did it, but I did it myself.
Yeah, because I was sitting here, we talked this yesterday too, we were sitting here saying the idea of if you're a person who is listening to everybody around you who are telling you what you want to hear, but then there's this one person in your life that you're avoiding and you find as a threat, you should ask yourself why, because it could be that one missing component in the process of finding who you are. Because you got to ask the question. You know, we always say everybody in your life reflects back to you about you. So if you're denying yourself of that whole thing, the only person you're really hurting at that moment is you're hurting yourself.
Yeah.
So when you sit there and go, okay, the smoking is becoming a problem. But because I was telling this lady on a site that I work for. I work for a random. And I was sitting there talking, and she said, I just went to the psychic who brought up these things. I just had these realizations of these things that I'm not ready to confront yet. And she goes, how can I confront them? I'm sitting there going, well, let's back up for a minute. You're saying in the process of getting a reading, these realizations came to the forefront. Now you know what they are, right? And she goes, yeah. How do I confront them? I said, I think you just did. And now you got to keep moving forward and realize that these realizations came to the forefront, because she said, I'm not ready. That's the one that was the only component holding her back of this revelation in her life, changing things dramatically for the better. It was just herself standing in the way, saying, I'm not ready for this. And I told her flat out, if you're seeing it and you know what they are, your angels and guides are saying, yes, you are ready for this, or else you wouldn't know what they are.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like confronting. You know, people look at me and say, hey, you know, I have a different way of doing that. And I say, okay, do you still have the fear? Yes. But I meditate on it all the time.
Yeah.
I said, if you have a fear of picking up the phone and calling somebody, you can meditate. Meditation to me is the idea of letting go and allow things to follow through. But there's also that action that you have to do too as well. So if you have a fear of that phone, eventually you can meditate till doomsday. You're going to have to get up and confront that phone and call that person. If you're a psychic who does phone readings and you haven't been on the phone because you're scared of answering that phone or scared of logging on, you're still going to have to face that action. That's your fear. Okay, you can meditate and ask for strength, ask for guidance, ask to work with your angels, but your angels are going to come up with the same conclusion. Pick the phone up.
Yeah.
Call that person. Oh, you know, like, call that person. Confront that whole situation. Why are you scared of it? Maybe because you know it's the thing you need to do. Why would you be avoiding it? You're also avoiding the person, the situation. So, but once you do that, it's like watching a thermometer. You know, once you put ice on it, you see the redness go down. Okay, because it was an action taken. It's the same thing with your life. Once that action's taken, more likely, once you confront it and you realize that funny feeling in your stomach was just fear, and then you find out it's an illusion, because once you do the action, you don't feel that anymore, and you've faced your fears. Yeah. So we sit here and look at the situation at hand again and say, okay, you got the act. It's almost like saying, I got the answers. What do I do now?
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is the part, this is the action part. Follow through.
Mm-hmm.
Sun up beach, man. Sun up. You know, so I was sitting there going, there's sunny beaches everywhere if you look for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I was sitting there telling a friend of mine, I was like, sunny beaches in Kansas. And they're going, there's no beaches in Kansas. Why isn't something there? I'm pretty sure there's some lakes there. I've seen lakes with beaches, right? And it's the ideal. See, the perception needs to be widened a little bit, so therefore the solution can be seen so clearly, so therefore they can follow through. And people want to keep them. And then I've seen this before too, with situations of people going, "You're trying to keep me in a box. You're trying to mold me. You're trying to change me." And when I look at those situations very clearly from the point of view of an angel, you know, like an angel card reader, or just a reader in doing relationship counseling, that kind of stuff, what I see is a person who was on the verge of changing, who was on the verge of a lot of things being different in their lives, that they're telling that person across from them, where they think that person is trying to change them or keep them in a box and that kind of stuff. Realistically, what's really happening is the person that they're with is changing them, not intentionally, not on purpose, but it's just the idea, the association of being together, that they're changing, because that's how life is. We change with each incident, each thing that happens in our lives, each moment. And if you're not allowing yourself to do that, maybe you should take a look at yourself and say, no, realistically, you're keeping yourself in the box. You're putting yourself in a mold, and you're refusing to change. So therefore, you're blaming somebody else, because I guarantee you, why do I think that? Because if you're blaming everybody else, I guarantee you're not looking at yourself.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you that all the problems that you're having in your life is from the choices you made. Nobody else.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're sitting there and you got ticked off at somebody and you walked out and got hit by a car, well, it was your fault. I got hit by a car. I'm sitting there going, I could have swore it was your action of walking out the door. I just said, get out. You know. So realistically, just look at the actions and what caused the person to say, get out of my house. And I guess I guarantee you'll find the solution of why you got hit by a car, because at that moment when someone said something to you, you wasn't willing to look at it. You wasn't willing to confront it. So in the process, what happened was there was a manifestation of that fear which made you walk out the door, which if you would have listened, you would have never walked out the door and the incident would never happen.
Yeah.
You know, it was like they're looking at you going, okay, I just spent all this freaking money to go home, because we had an argument. And you're sitting there going, well, maybe if you would have waited and gave it just a day, you would have probably not spent anything. So therefore, look at the decisions you're making. one decision puts you in a situation where you spend all this freaking money, which you would have never done in the first place. That's what I'm saying. If you're in a situation where you're going against your own character, going against your own beliefs of a person who looks for discounts and everything, and then here you are just spending money left and right to get away from a situation, maybe you should ask yourself what you're running away from, because you're even going against yourself. And I guarantee you're not listening to your angels or guides. And I guarantee you're not listening to anything at that moment. You're just like, whoa, I got to run. Look at your feet. Do you have Nikes on? That may be another sign too. Do you have Nikes on right now? Are you running?
Oh no.
So let's all make some decisions right now.
Yeah.
And say to ourselves flat out that no one or no thing can hurt me, and then go from there. And people ask me this question: how can you stop second guessing yourself, not realizing realistically? The answer is in the comment you just said. And people are like, okay, what's that mean? You said, I want to stop second guessing myself. So therefore, listen to the first thing that comes through, which has been proven to be guidance.
Yeah.
And you've corrected the whole situation. So take a look at those yourself and look at the thing and go, okay, wow, that's just a simple thing of just allowing things, when they come to me, to follow through with them without thinking about it. Because I guarantee you, I've done this before myself. I've done the test. Try it yourselves. It's the ideal of that when you tell yourself, I'm going to listen to everything, the very first thing that comes through in the process of making a decision or looking for the answer, I'm going to listen to that very first thing that comes through. I'm just going to just spontaneously just follow through with it and see what happens.
Okay.
Because, I mean, I've seen people sit there and think, and then walk out the freaking door thinking, thinking I just made a big mistake. If that's the case, I wish we could sit there and look at him going, okay, no matter when you have the realization, I don't care how much money you spent, ask yourself, even if you can't get a refund, if you come to a conclusion that you're making a mistake and the only reason you're still following through with it because you think you're going to lose some money, then at that moment, money just became more important than you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a sad thing, because money is not more important than you are. Money doesn't have a feeling. It doesn't have a pulse. It can't breathe. It has no emotion, so you're not going to hurt it. You know, it's not going to go in the corner and cry and say, well, you know, Joey here hurt me. It ain't going to happen. I promise you on that one. Money doesn't have the power unless you give it to it. Okay, then that's another thing you should take back, too. I realize you still have direction there, too. I'm just saying, the process of making these mistakes, the hardest thing for people to do is they use justification, excuses, to keep following through, and then later on they're going to beat themselves up. Why even go there? Why beat yourself up later on, okay? Just realize, even if you do, realize one thing. You made a mistake. We all make mistakes, and it's what we learn from, so don't beat yourself up. I actually had a guy do that once. He went to Disney World, and he took his family to Disney World. If anybody's ever been to Disney World, if you take a family of three, or there's five of you guys all together, that's going to be pretty expensive. And he basically gets there. The kids will not listen. They're thinking, oh, this guy spent all this freaking money, right? And we can do what we want. He ain't going to turn around and go home. And he told them flat out, if you didn't change your attitude, I'm going to walk right out of here and go home. Well, they still acted up. They're like, oh, he just spent $1,200. He ain't going to do that. And this guy looked at them and said, we're going home. And he packed everybody up and left. Now, and guess what? Those kids never gave him another problem ever again. You know why? Because did it scare them? Or did they come to the conclusion that their father felt that they were more important than money? And they respect him for that. And that's the key. Because he respects himself to say, when I say something, I mean it. And they saw that he actually meant it, no matter what. And now they have the same kind of respect for him, too. That he's never lifted a finger to him to take a, as they call it, spare the rod, spare the child. And I think the rod really represents more in the case of discipline than it does actually a physical rod. And I think it's the ideal that certain things have a tendency to get your point across. Some people have to have a switch across their butt. But other people, it's just the ideal. Discipline can be the switch as much as anything else to realize this person means business, but at the same time he's also saying that you're very important.
Yep.
You're the most important thing in my life, and that's why I did what I did. This is why I said what I said. And it was the ideal, this will benefit you later in life. You will understand that if you don't have those things right off the bat early in your life, more likely you won't have any respect in your latter life, and the only person you got to blame is yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Is anybody else tired? I'm tired. But, you know, I was sitting here talking to about this, too, about a girlfriend I had, and I feel like I still have her. So I'll put that in, you know, like, and I was sitting here talking to her, and she was like, she's telling me flat out that you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. You're wrong about everything. And I said, well, it's kind of funny. I got people who pay hundreds of dollars come to hear my advice, which is, I'm telling you, I said, if you were a client of mine and this was the same kind of situation, I would tell you the same thing. And she said, no, you're wrong. And there was a lot of other variables to it. But it was one of those things that some people look at things differently where they say, okay, you're mean. You know, you're being mean, not realizing, are you really being mean or are you just stating how you feel and what and who you are? Say, okay, if you have a person who's saying you're wrong and that everything you do is wrong, even to the point where they try to tell you, I want you to stop giving me advice and stop helping me. So they want you to stop being, what they're saying is, I want you to stop being who you are because I don't want to hear it. I think realistically, if you take a step back and listen to what's being said, a person, if you come to the conclusion this person is basically in a state of denial, they don't want to listen to anything, you're more likely you're right. But at the same, so what we're trying to say is, if you're sitting here looking at this situation, everybody else that you, I mean, in my situation, I tell everybody, so, okay, I've helped thousands of people, and this is the same approach that I do. I also am a relationship counselor, so I have a tendency to be very verbal and very straightforward and telling everybody in detail how I feel, what's going on. So I live that. That's who I am. And I have a person in my life that when I first got with the person, loved everything about me. Now we've come to a crucial point where the relationship has grown, and they're refusing to let that grow. Because, see, in the process of growth, what is there? There's change. And the change is more likely in the two people. And then everything else changes accordingly. And I was sort of looking at the situation. I said, I think what's happening here is you're refusing to see this for what it is. There's certain things that you're having all these fears. You're not listening to yourself. And there's been the idea of listening to a person sit there and say, you know, you're wrong. And I'm sitting there going, okay, I'm also part of that equation. Everybody else is telling me this and this and this. Okay, that's great. Mm-hmm. But I guarantee you, when it comes to relationships or any kind of interaction, her friends are getting one perception. That's hers. So realistically in the whole equation, they can't really give her an opinion about our relationship unless they have that have those facts from me or any kind of, or at least some kind of perception of who I am from somebody else's, not her perception, because she can only see things from her perception. And if she's already in denial and she's not really seeing the whole story, or she's refusing to see you for who you are, then those people are only going to see her perception, and they can only make an assessment of the situation from what they're told. Okay, so if she's only telling them what she wants them to hear, and then they are only going to tell her what she wants to hear. So you see how like does attract like, and how it will just do like that. But then you sit and look at the situation, and you cut off the whole thing. You said, okay, I'm done with that, and you step back and just look at it. And there's nothing wrong with somebody sitting there saying to themselves and say, you know something, I think this person, the reason they're refusing and they're pushing me away, it's because I'm right, and they're just not willing to change right now. They're refusing to do so, even though they're sitting there saying, I'm looking for myself. Now, if they're looking for themselves and they're taking all those perceptions in from everybody else, but they don't want to do that with you, even if you're in a bad relationship, you still need to look at that person who's still in your life as a learning lesson for you to find out about yourself. You know, if you have a person who's in denial, and then I step back from the situation, okay, oh, what am I learning from this experience? And at that time, of me trying to focus on her and help her see things for what they are, I'm still not taking consideration and having that kind of respect for myself that saying, okay, you know what you're talking about. You know what you're saying. You are right. So, see, with that conclusion, you no longer have to say anything to that person no more, because you already have. Now you have to sit back and look at the situation and go, okay, I'm right. That's okay. Because in our society, that's one thing people have a problem with right now. They have a problem with saying those words, I'm right. And honestly, be truthfully, you are right. Because this would help people out there understand that your spouse or the girl you're with who wants to run away from you, now you understand why. Now, don't get me wrong, there are abusive relationships. But there are also other people who conjure up abusive relationships because of what they're not willing to see or admit or accept. Okay?
So
we also have to realize in that relationship that I had that we cannot sit down and have a conversation and really work out and get to the solution until the other person has seen what I've already seen.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, it's okay. You walk away. You're not being a bad person, because what I did was we had a conversation. All of a sudden, it was all this denial part, and I don't care what anybody says. I was sitting here talking to her on the phone. Okay, I'm 1,600 miles away. I'm talking to her on the phone. Somebody walks up to her and hands her a piece of paper, and she tells me to hold on. I'm sitting going, hold up, hold up. Why are you putting me on hold? And she goes, well, this person here is my stepfather, and I'm sitting here living rent-free, so therefore he gets the attention. Do you see what she's doing? She's justifying her actions. Anytime someone justifies their actions, they know they're wrong, or why would they justify it?
Mm-hmm.
It's a done, you know, it's pretty much in a situation like that. And because I would sit there and look at it like this. Of a person, I always look at other things too, like past experiences. Of a woman who's looking at everybody else as being disrespectful when she's on the phone or on Skype and she's trying to do something. But at that moment, I'm the one that's being disrespectful because I said something. So there's a contradiction there. So see, that's a learning experience for me to definitely stick to my guns, stick to my beliefs, and maintain that, and realize to have that faith in myself that I am right. Then, because the idea of walking away makes so much sense. Because she looked at me, she goes, "Okay, when you're ready to have a friendship and have a happy conversation, then you call me." And I said, "No." I just said, "No, you." When you're ready to be a girlfriend and have a real relationship, you call me, and I hung up on her. And people say, okay. Now, most of the people that look at the situation for what it is and know both sides of it said that was the best thing to do because you put it in her lap to make her think about what she's doing, to ask herself the one question. You're contradicting yourself with the way you do things and the way your life is and who you are, as you say. You say you're looking for who you say you're looking for yourself. But are you really running away from yourself and you don't want to see yourself because you're scared of what you're going to see? Because when you look at that person, you see you. That's why you're pushing that person away. So when you look at, so if you're out there listening to this thing and you sit there and see these situations, it's like having more information to look at and say, okay, is this person really being abusive? Or am I being abusive to myself because of what I'm refusing to see? And even if a person is abusive on that side of the thing, ask yourself, why are you continuing to let this happen to you? Because that's the only conclusion you come up with. You're allowing it to happen to you. So even in my situation, a person is basically trying to control the situation. Just trying to push and everything else that goes along with it. So if you feel like at that moment you're being disrespected, if you allow it to continue to happen, you're only disrespecting yourself. So it's the same. So it's like helping people understand if you're in an abusive relationship and you're being abused, then you have to take 100% accountability for your actions and why you're even there in the first place. Go ahead, sir.
Oh, I was just saying. Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we have so many people saying, "Well, that guy." It's his fault or my life sucks. And I'm sorry, guys, but your life sucks because you think it sucks. It's your thoughts that create your reality. And you brought him into your life to bring some kind of realizations to you, even if it's just the ideal of realizing your life sucks because of the choice that you made to be with this person. You know, that's your choice. It's your choice. It's your choice. It's your choice. You make all the choices. I'm sure you didn't have somebody substituting that day when that choice was made. I guarantee you, trace it back, you're fine, because I have a tough time with women. You know, once you bring it back and you say, okay, let's do a little exercise and let's see what happens and see where it leads us. So we start going over all the decisions that were made. And I guarantee you, every time we do that, we always trace it back to them. And then they get mad at you and they say, you're like my husband or you're like my ex-husband. It's always my fault. And I hate to say this because it's the truth, but it is your fault in the state of your life where it's at right now. And also we had a discussion, I also had a discussion with my girlfriend when I sit here and said, twin flames, we can't be twin flames because when twin flames come together, it's roses and fireworks and lovely. I said, okay, if you live in Eden, you're right. But it's also the idea of realizing that twin flames and soulmates are spiritual connections. It's the idea, I've heard this a lot. People say when you come together, your life will change. Okay, listen to the word. Listen to the statement. It says your life will change. I'm not going to disagree with that. Your life will change. But you don't understand that. Well, twin flames are like two mirrors coming together. They reflect back to each other where you are in your life at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's why I'm always working with people to make their lives as healthy and healthy, emotional and spiritual as they can be at the level they are in their lives. So therefore, when they do have these relationships and they do meet these people, then it's a whole lot more pleasurable experience. But we have to understand one thing too. You're on this earth to learn and to grow emotionally and spiritually. So when you get with your soulmate or your twin flame, it's just the idea of remembering that we've brought these people into our lives. So now we have a person to share our experiences, good or bad, with.
Mm-hmm.
We still have things to learn. And if you come back and you were in a relationship with somebody, hopefully you can take the blinders off to realize that you're also probably have learning experiences because of that relationship. Maybe you had commitment issues when you're in a past life. Now you come together to deal with those commitment issues with the same person to realize they're, you know, whose fault was it? If you didn't commit, you know, the other person's not the problem. The other person probably has problems, okay?
Yeah.
But that person is not the problem, and it's not the cause of why or where your life is and the estate and the condition it's in. It's you.
Yeah.
And this person is just there to reflect back that to you to learn. Because I've always told people in relationship counseling, if you learn from the reflections you give each other, what you're doing in the process of learning things, you're letting go of stuff. When you let go of stuff, you're clearing out blockages so you get closer. If you refuse to learn from the reflection and run from it, like with my situation and my girlfriend, if you sit and look at it real closely, I'm trying to sit down and have conversations. They might not be pleasurable conversations, but they're conversations to come up with the resolution to work through issues, okay? Those conversations usually aren't pleasurable, but they do have pleasurable outcomes if it's allowed to happen. Like what I said and told her, I give it 24 hours. Yes, we're arguing, but I guarantee if you give it 24 hours, not 2 hours, still working through issues, give it 24 hours, I guarantee you it will be a pleasurable outcome to look forward to, okay? But if you're sitting there focusing on, I got to get out of here, and things are just going to get worse because of what you're seeing at that moment, you're not really allowing the future to happen. All you can do is, if you keep focusing on the present moment, all you're going to do is keep manifesting it over and over again and cause more and create more blockages which push you away.
Mm-hmm.
It's the ideal. Let down your resistance and ask yourself, okay, why am I being resistant? You know, obviously they do care, because if they didn't care, they would just sit there and look at you. And they'd probably still be with you. But you would still feel like something's, there's conversations still not going on, what's going on. So that's what I was saying before. It was the ideal to simplify things with this kind of relationship. And then people are sort of going, okay, you told her to give you a call when she was ready to be your girlfriend and to have a real relationship. And then you just hang up. I said, well, the message is, I'm not saying goodbye. I'm saying I understand that you can't see this right now. I can. So when you're ready to see the truth, then give me a call and we'll sit down and talk about it. But honestly, until that truth is seen, that conversation can't happen, because it has to be on the same page. It has to be on the same realization, because I've seen this before with twin flame relationships anyway. You got two people who see the same thing. One embraces it and one runs away from it. And that's all we can look at in a situation like this of a person who has guidance that tells her to stay, but she still leaves anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So we know she's not listening to herself. So therefore, whatever happens afterwards, I'm not listening to yourself and still leaving, is still playing itself out and manifesting itself over and over again of her not listening to herself, which is one of those things you can't do anything until she stops allowing that manifestation to keep going on and on and on. So you have to take yourself out of the equation. It's also the same thing with our addictions, okay? So smoking and that kind of stuff. If we catch ourselves justifying it and say, okay, just one more cigarette. Oh, I'm going to stop after I get done smoking this pack. And those are just smaller excuses of a relationship that you got going on that you know it's bad for you that you have to let go of.
Yep.
Just because of those decisions, you just said, oh, it's okay.
Yep.
You know? But you also have to have that relationship with yourself and say, okay, I just had these realizations I got to honor. And when I do honor them, it's easy because it's like once you come up with that conclusion, then actually, to tell you the truth, it's easier to quit smoking because you've already made an agreement with yourself that that's what you need to do. Until that agreement happens, nothing can happen afterwards. It's going to keep manifesting itself over and excuses and kind of. I did the same thing when I quit smoking. I just sit there and said, you know something? It's like being honest with yourself. I love to smoke. It was great. It was fantastic. But then I moved to Colorado, and it wasn't serving me anymore. It was actually working against me, where it was actually getting me to the point of making a decision to stop working out. I'm like, hold up. I'm actually going to make a decision to quit working out, to keep smoking. There's something wrong with this picture, and I need to sit there and be honest with myself of what kind of relationship I got with myself.
Yeah.
Does that make sense to you?
Oh, yeah. That totally makes a lot of sense.
So totally, after we get done with this reading and stuff and that kind of stuff, please sit down with me sometime. We'll do a personal reading. But either way it goes, come back and share things with us, with these realizations that you're going to be going through, because we'd love to hear them.
Yes, I definitely want to definitely share with y'all. And once I can see about making some progress, because, you know, I definitely take in what you're saying and, you know, try to focus. I guess me is always a me thing because I do my numerology stuff. I'm a number one as well. So,
right.
You know, a lot of stuff, everything I go through is me. So, you know, if it's a bad thing or if it's a good thing, it's usually something I'm kind of putting the picture just to not to be right. So
right.
I definitely got to definitely look into that, just try to stay focused and, you know, not let these little vices kind of hold me down because I know that they're just excuses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this can drive you crazy sometimes. But, you know, but in the process of the decision we're going to make, sometimes people don't really agree with everything we got to do. But that's just the way it's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, seriously. It's like, I mean, there's going to be a lot of people who don't agree with everything we do. That's when we also have to regroup and go back and say, okay, my guidance said this and this and this, and I feel like this is a good course. This is what I need to do. And then you've got to follow through with it no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just saying, as we go forward, and there's certain things that you're going to stop doing, like, you know, with the smoking and that kind of stuff, there's always somebody, I swear to you, that comes out of the woodwork and says, you know, something, smoking is not bad for you. It's just the government trying to convince you of that. And you're like, okay, I don't believe that. Why did you come out? Where did you come from? And sometimes people will come out of the woodwork, and their advice is so off and so awful. It's just the angels saying, listen to this person to have conviction and understand you already have the answers. And this person is just confirming that you already know what you need to do with yourself because this person doesn't. They're not listening, but you've been listening to yourself. And I've seen negative messages come from people that I started going, okay, this don't make no sense, but it makes me have more confidence in the decisions I've already made.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
Boom, ba-doom, boom, boom. I was there looking at the chat room, looking at the queue, too, and going, oh, we have a caller.
Okay. Well, thank
all right,
you so,
so
much.
It's
I appreciate
you calling in.
Yes.
And please give me a call. And I like I tell everybody else, I love to sit down and do private sessions with people. I don't care what your budget is.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't hesitate to contact if you want to sit down and do something. Because I guarantee whatever you got to work with, I can work with it, okay?
Okay.
All right. I hope I really helped you out, and I hope it hit you. I hope it hit you where it was supposed to hit you at. And please come back to the show and share with us the changes that you're going to be going through here, okay?
Will do.
All right. Thank you again for calling in. That we really appreciate it. I know I do. Okay.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye bye now.
Bye bye.
All right. Let's continue on. And let's go to our next caller, which is a private call. It always
Hello.
Comes up as 1111111. So you're on the air. Welcome
Hi.
To the show, and how are you?
Hi, I'm doing great.
You're
Hello.
Who?
Can you hear me?
I can definitely hear you. What was your name again? Can you hear me? Hello? Oh, that's kind of crazy. Hello? Hello? Are you there? Let's try this again. All right, let's try this one more time. And let's say, okay, are you there? Hello? All right, let's try this. Try one more time to get this thing clear. And bring it back up and see what's going to happen. It's kind of crazy with the switchboard sometimes. I don't understand why it does that. Hello? Well, it says the call's open. For some reason, I can't hear them. So it's one of those things to try to check and see if you're on mute. Try to check and see if everything's working good, your connection's good on that end. Hello?
Hi,
I can hear you now.
Hi, thank you. My name is Vivian.
Vivian, you're in the chat room, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
And where are you calling from, Vivian?
British Columbia.
British Columbia.
Yes.
Who is Common Thread? Still working
yeah.
on time zones. I'm working all kinds of things. So you're calling from British Columbia in Canada, huh?
Yes.
So, Vivian, how can I help you tonight? And whoever's Common Thread, if they could give me their name, because they're calling me by name, so I was just kind of curious of who you are. So let me know, okay?
Hi.
All right.
I'm just one. Hello. Hi.
Teresa. Oh, it's Teresa. Now it makes sense because when she was talking about giving people's charts and that kind of thing, I was like, I think I know her. Anyway, you go on with your question. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
I want to know about relationship and money and more important about my calling from God.
You want to know about your car?
No, relationship, money, and calling from God. Like, you know, to do the work of God, for God.
Oh, you're
like,
calling?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, we'll try to give you as much as we can on the calling thing. Because I feel like in the situations, the idea, I've always told everybody like this, what you need to do and the idea of what your life purpose is to focus on what you are drawn to. Like, for example, I've gotten away from doing readings a lot, working for the carnival and that kind of stuff, and it seems like everywhere I go, no matter what happens, I always end up doing readings. People seem to be gravitated toward me. They look at me and they go, there's something about you. And then when I sit there and tell them what I do, they say, okay, that makes sense. It's a spiritual sense. Okay, so people don't realize in some sense of the word, life purpose is the idea of focusing on spirituality. And then as you focus on your spirituality, your life purpose will be presented to you. And usually a lot of times...
I feel kind of sad that I don't really have the motivation to read Bibles anymore. So, but then in practice, I'm good with talking to elderly and talking to kids. So kind of like
uh-huh.
sometimes I can... I already know my gift, right? My gift is kind of like gift of prophet, not prophecy. Like, how to say, somehow what you say, they ring in their ear, and that exactly remind them something they forgot or shall be heading toward. So I'm really
mm-hmm.
proud of that. But the problem of talking about it will be people will be so misunderstand what is the gift of prophet and just drive me nuts because So I hide what I do. I can't even confront with my past because it's like I find that I don't want to get, you know, listening. And so up until that, then in my gift, I also is a leader, and I know kind of, but don't know what kind of leader I am. I'm kind of like good at single out process, like work process. If you have a project, I make sure nobody is duplicated a role so that it's more efficient. It's more like business analyst or marketing, but I'm not exactly an outgoing person, right? I'm like an introvert. So I was like confused. Hi.
Yes. I was just sitting there focusing, that's all, sorry. I was listening to the idea you're talking about, and I understand where you're coming from and that kind of thing, too, but it seemed like the thing that came up to me the most is the word relationship seems to be really important as the information that comes to me is the one thing that stands out the most.
Yeah, relationship, yes, yeah.
Well, I'm just saying, the idea of everything else seems to be pretty much falling into place, and I just see the idea of really focus on relationships. You're in a relationship right now?
Well, I have a crush on a guy for about 2008, since 2008, so I have a really long crush.
How long?
Since 2008.
How long?
Since 2008.
That's a long crush.
Yeah.
I'm just saying with the situation, everything goes along with it, I feel like one thing it actually needs to be done in the situation is the idea of looking at this person and see what it reflects back to you. I was sitting here talking earlier. What I mean by learning from the people is realizing that they're not doing anything to you, because I've heard this a lot lately where it's like, okay, this guy's not stepping forward. He's not giving me, he's not doing anything in the process of giving me any kind of information or what's going on. And it's, those situations are so simple to understand that in some ways he is, and actually he is. Because it's like, okay, he's not communicating with me. What's his problem? He's not communicating with you. That's the problem. Okay, this is a look at the situation and go, okay, what you're really asking is, what's the solution? And the solution is at that moment, are you really communicating with yourself? I guarantee if you sit there and look at these things, at the things that people are not doing that you're angry with, it's the ideal taking and looking at it as a reflection and looking at yourself, going, okay, what does that what does that tell me about myself? If a person's not communicating with you, it's the idea of asking yourself, am I communicating with myself? And be honest with yourself and say, if I have questions that I can't get the answers to, more than likely the answers are within you. And that's what it's saying, to stop fixating yourself on that person and what's wrong with them and look at yourself and say, okay, does that reflect something about myself that I need to work on? And the idea of communication and love and those kind of things, because
well,
if a person...
there is a problem because it seems like I have different people that I kind of, you know, interest in, but then I never really come about, like, how to say, my best girlfriend, word by thing is that it seems like it come all too easy to get attention that I don't know how to respect or prevent other people being harmed by, you know, just a switch of attention. And it taught me, that I got from myself was that this is not the right time yet because you have too many different interests. It's more like exploring stage, not like committing stage. Like once you find one that you actually want to focus and, you know, the other choices disappear, then I'm able to commit. But right now it seems like for the better or worse, I think it's a double-edged sword that since I was very young, I was popular, so I try to understand it, but I can't because I never in the shoes of the other people's situations. I was feel like stuck and feeling bad about being who I am. So
what you're saying in the situation is if in the idea of finding yourself, then you'll be able to be more forward, and maybe these situations will come forward. And I'm starting to look at the situation as it's still a learning experience, and it's like the ideal. A lot of people have a tendency to do one thing, and one thing we got to stop doing is living our lives according to the human concept of realizing those are the things that are making us confused.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? When we step back and look at the situation and ask ourselves, what do I feel I should do? Okay, what I was talking about, when I was talking about my girlfriend, is the idea of sitting here and go, okay, guys, what should I do? Doing 3 or 4 card readings. We have to look at those things very honestly and say, okay, here's a person who's not listening to their guidance. They're not listening to themselves. How can we tell this? Because it was 3 readings. Okay, she wasn't happy with the first reading, so what she's doing is she keeps going and going and going until that reading is going to convey what she's comfortable to do. Instead of listening to her guidance and allowing herself to do the right thing, she said, no, I'm going to walk out the door. I'm leaving. Even though she knows in her heart it's a mistake and it's the wrong thing to do. But see, if you turn around and listen to the guidance, it's not going to be comfortable because these are learning experiences. So it's the ideal to say, okay, I have a crush on somebody. The honest, truthful way to look at a situation like this is to confront that issue by saying, okay, what does it mean? Okay, I have a crush on somebody. I have a connection with somebody that for some reason something's prompting me to follow through. But everybody else is saying I'm not mature enough or I'm not further along enough to do that. If I was, then this situation should come together easily, not realizing that, okay, but maybe it is coming together easily, but someone has to also follow through with action. Okay? In the process of focusing and being, that's great. But also the doing has to happen too. So when I look at the situation, I don't see there's a, because everybody's scared to death of embarrassment. I say, walk up to the person and say, hey, let's go get some coffee. And people think that's crazy. But I'm sorry, but back in the day, that's how it happened. You know why? Because there wasn't any kind of excuse. As in a phone, a computer, or anything else that would sit there and say, well, I don't need to do that because it's not happening the way it's supposed to. You know, you got to look at yourself and ask yourself, are you denying something that could be such a great, fantastic relationship because you're scared to confront your fear? The fears that, you know, the fears that always tell you, don't do this, do this.
He denied many times about his feeling. I know he's denying. So I was like, okay, so every time I talk to him, I make sure I sound like I don't know his interest because every time I openly talk about it, he just kind of like random say something really hurtful. And so I was like, okay, I'm not going to let you to stop brush my things. I'm just pretending that I never know. And I try to be just get to know him. But same thing, he kind of like don't know how to approach.
Okay, I'm just saying, okay, different action. Let's take a look at the situation, confront it. You know, okay, you're sitting there going, okay, how do you feel? I say, don't ask that question. I say, walk up to a person. And this is what this is. I had this person do this once before, and I think it's the best approach because realistically, their feelings, what they want, their expectation, really ain't none of our business until they tell us. So we keep it that way. But at the same time, we have feelings, we have wants, needs, and desires. And I think in this situation, I don't think there's anything wrong with walking up to this person and going, okay, this is what I want, this is what I need, this is what I desire, and this is how I feel. Can you give me the same back in return? And when the person says, whatever they say, we make our decision on what we've said. If the person says no, then you go, thank you very much, and I'll see you later. Don't take it as personal, because realistically, guys, like I said before, nobody or no thing can hurt you. It's the things you allow to happen to you. You're asking how he feels, and he doesn't want to tell you, so he denies it and pushes you away. You take it personal. You shouldn't take it personal. He's just reacting to the situation, just like you are. So you sit back and go, okay, he can't do it. This is the realization, he can't do it. I'm saying if you haven't confront it. But always confront it in a strong, precise way of asking and saying, this is how I feel. I really like you, let's go have some coffee. And the person goes, well, I don't know how I feel about you. Well, let's be honest and say right to their face, if you never follow through, my friend, you never will. So if you want to play this game, I see it, and I'm not a game player. So therefore, I'm going to go and be with somebody who can be an adult, because right now you are not being an adult. Because feelings in life doesn't stop because you don't want to deal with it. It keeps going forward. So therefore, in that process of being very strong to yourself and saying, you're going to miss out on a great experience and you're going to miss out on getting to know a very special person. Have a good day and leave and move. That's the truth. You are a special, unique individual, and you have a lot to offer. And at that moment, when you ask him how he feels, you're saying, I don't feel worthy enough to tell you how I feel until you tell me. The insecurity is picked up. The insecurity is also reflected back at you with his own insecurity, so no one ever finds out nothing. So you see the idea of walking into these situations and being very strong about who you are is very important. And right now with the situation of the realization you just experienced, you have that strength. It's just your job to tap into it, okay?
So I can just do that, try to ask for coffee to see what is best?
Yes. You are here to love. You are here to find out who you are. And when you sit there and do things in a very strong, straightforward way and say, okay, this is who I am. I guarantee you, sweetie, I've done it myself. I remember when I was younger and I didn't do that. People walked all over me, and it was the only person's fault was me, because I was allowing them to walk all over me. But the first time I stood up and told somebody flat out exactly how I felt, they didn't like it. But for some reason, I got respect because I voiced my opinion. I said exactly what I wanted to say, and it was very confident about what I said. I had some guy look at me, and he goes, oh, so you've been working out and taking care of yourself. You think you're bad, don't you? I stood up and said, you want to find out? I found out right then and there. That guy that I thought was such a badass who was going to kick my butt if I didn't keep to myself, found out later on he was totally the opposite. It was my freaking impression that he was allowed to be that person, but it was all an illusion. And as soon as I confronted that, see, that's what I'm saying, guys. As soon as you confront those issues, you will see the truth. You will feel
okay,
it, and you will see it.
Okay, but I already confronted that person a couple times already. Do I still have to do it?
Like this, will you? Why don't you be honest with yourself and say, okay, I'm a very strong, I'm a very special, gifted, talented person. I'm one of those people that if you get to know me, I guarantee you I'll make your life a whole lot better. Now, if you look at this person and you ask yourself this one question, is this person really deserving of me? Because I'm deserving to have the best. Is this person deserving of me? If you come to the conclusion he's not, then I would walk away and move on. If you come to the conclusion that you want to sit there and tell him who you are and then see what he says, that's what I see. It's a choice. I really feel like you should walk away.
I see that I want to give up because I have tried to give so many chances, and he just, I don't know what's wrong with him, but I don't think it's me, because I mean, like,
well,
I mean,
no,
yeah,
it's not you.
My...
Listen to this, sweetie. It's not you, okay? This is, make it simplify for you, okay? He cannot see you for who you are. You know why? Because he can't see himself, because he won't allow it. So therefore, until he does, he will never see the special person he's giving up until he comes to that conclusion. And maybe with this situation, maybe you're the vehicle that helps him have that realization. Doesn't mean you guys will be together, but hopefully the next person who comes along and says something to him, he won't sit there and blow it off like, I got a million years. I can do whatever I want. Not realizing the moment is presenting itself to you right now. And if you're not willing to take that freaking moment, then you don't get the chance of taking it again. And you learn.
Yeah, I don't want to get thrown by him again, because, I mean, like, it really sucks each time that he turned me down. And you probably on your side, you know that how many times that he break my heart with what he says and whatnot. So I was like,
I'm just saying, have respect for yourself and don't allow him to do that no more. Don't give him the chance.
Yeah.
Find somebody else who, say, that's like this, sweetie. You sit there and tell yourself, I am deserving to have what I want, need, and desire. I deserve that. And I guarantee you'll find a person who feels the same way, and you guys will deserve each other, respect each other, and you'll have the relationship you've always wanted. You just got to find somebody who's got the same assuredness as you do. It's the idea, I love myself unconditionally, and you will find someone to do the same thing too. If not, then the person is not supposed to be a part of your life, and it's a pure sign to say, okay, this is not the person for you, because they refuse to love you unconditionally. which means they're not loving themselves unconditionally. So therefore, they no longer contribute to your happiness, and you go focusing on what does contribute to your happiness, and everything else has a tendency to fade out in favor of the focus that you have.
I just told
a friend of mine this too. She was like, she has an ex, and she has a guy that she really does love. She goes, what should I do? I said, you should focus on the guy you love and where you really want to be at, and then you won't have to do nothing when it comes to the ex. The universe will work with you in the process of everything falling into place to have what you're focusing on at this moment. Okay?
I was smart, worry about my relationship with my mom and my self-worth. I cannot balance it between the two because I choose to stay with her, but sometimes I feel like in actuality I'm not helping her at all because somewhere it's not right and just didn't express it that well.
Right. Okay, who was that?
Oh, my mom.
Okay, well, the situation is it's the ideal of sitting down and two people expressing themselves on the truth of how they really do feel about each other. Also, the truth of who you guys are. Sometimes you do have to look at the situation when it comes to family and realizing what's the most scariest thing. And you'll realize that family and friends never go anywhere. They're always going to be there. And you don't have to do anything but be who you are. If they can't accept who you are, then they haven't taken the steps to accept themselves for who they are.
So
if you sit there and say, okay, I know who I am. I know exactly who I am. Well, that's an illusion too. Realistically, the ideal of you're evolving and changing through over a lifetime. It's the ideal relationships are the same. It's the ideal of making a choice that I want to change. And you've made the choices in your life. You made a choice that this is your mom. You made that choice a long time ago. She's also made the same choices too, that you was going to be her daughter. Now it's the ideal of sitting back and looking at each other, looking at the reflections you give each other and learn from it. Simply just learn from it. Because she's not the problem, you're not the problem. The problems are within you, and the problems are within her. And from the reflection you give each other, you learn how to confront those issues, and you'll find the solutions within yourselves.
So we can both have a win-win situation then?
You both have what?
Win-win situation, so I have to balance kind of how I have to feel better about myself and...
Yes, your perceptions and your thoughts have created the situation for what it is. The idea of changing one's perceptions and looking at the truth of the situation will give you a positive outcome, and things will change accordingly. It's the idea of acceptance. Let down your resistance and say, okay, my mom is who she is. Okay, your mom has to look at you and say, you are who you are. That's the first realization you guys got to do, the first thing you guys got to do. And then... once you let down the resistance, then you can see what you both reflect each other, what you need to work on within yourselves. Try it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I always tell everybody, if you want to sit down with me and work on a private session, I don't care what your budget is. I guarantee I could work with you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I would love to sit down and work with both of you. Because, you know, in some situations, when I sit here and talk about relationship counseling, everybody just assumes it's the ideal male and female and relationships like that. But realistically, the relationships that we have around us, and when we start looking at these relationships realistically, are they supportive or do they work against us? Are people constantly working against me on purpose? It's to realize that they always will. What the weakness is within yourself, to find why that still affects you and still bothers you. Okay? It's in you.
I think I can learn from her.
They're not the bad person. It's just a reflection of saying, okay, this person is trying to chisel up my foundation. And it's like, why am I allowing them to do that? It's the ideal. Mm-hmm. Sitting down, I did this with my mom, where she doesn't like what I do for a living.
Mm-hmm.
So I sit down with her one day and I say, okay, this is the way it's going to work. It's the idea of being bold and being forward and say, okay, we're both adults. So therefore, I have the right to say this, and you have the right to listen. Okay, and then I will be quiet and listen to what you have to say. But the point is, this is what I do for a living. I know you don't approve of it, but please respect me as an adult with my choices, because I have no intentions of stop doing it anytime soon. Okay, I will understand you.
Oh, my God, you exactly state my mind. I wanted to say that.
So I'm just saying, I sit there and told her this, and she still tries, her best to divert me, that kind of thing. But we, you know, it's like one of those things. We also realize at that moment, we're also trying to please our mothers, and realizing if what I just said to her, I'm never going to be able to really please her in what she wants me to do. So we both come to a conclusion and say, okay, I don't want you to doing this. And I said, I'm going to do this, but I don't want to argue with you no more. I just want to sit here and help you understand this is what I've chosen to do. And I think I have the right to do this because you chose your life and you're living your life. All I'm asking for is the same respect to live my life, right or wrong. Because I have to, I mean, there's things for me to learn. You learned your lesson, now let me learn mine.
I guess for that guy and my mom is like, I already know the answer when I say that because I did it many times, try to do it. And they just, you know, in their little corner, they won't be changing. I can't change them, and I won't change myself either. So that was like the best is just to try to, in a small way, to show how much I liked my mom and try to be a more helpful, learn from her good quality. And when she did something flip off me, I would make sure I don't do the same.
Mm-hmm. Let's go take a look at this. Okay. I'm just saying, sometimes it's not an easy thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And money is really weird, though, a question about money. Hello?
No, I'm listening. Say it again. Just forgive me. I'm trying to sit there and work things here. I'm working. I'm talking and listening to you, but I'm also listening. I'm also trying to take care of the chat room, too, so just work with me here, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. I got this word processing thing popping up too, which is driving me nuts. Okay, I got it. Okay, I'm just saying with the situation, the things like that, it's just the ideal. Like, I would agree in some sense of the world, your mom and that kind of thing, it's the ideal thing. Like we said before, the answers are within us. So it's just the ideal that sometimes we already have the answers. It's just we have to really have the strength to follow through.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Money, not too sure about that one.
I'm just saying, with the situation of correcting certain things in your personal life, they also correct the ideal finances and that kind of stuff. Because seriously, guys, the energy is the same. It's not any different. The energy is always the same. It's love. Love attracts everything to us that we want, need, and desire. You know, it's like friends.
Mm-hmm.
Relationships and careers, because the ideal that when we start focusing on what we really want to do, what we love to do, what we love to be into, all these things, when we sit and go, I love this, this is great, man. And then all of a sudden you start seeing things different in your life. Things start changing.
Well, I
but it has to start with the whole situation. So, okay, what do you want to do with your life? What do you want to do?
I want to have a business. I want to get like the couple different things. I want to follow the calling of God to use my gift of profit, which I keep going to church, but I haven't rebelled yet. And I try to take care of elderly and children, even though they are not mine. I just, you know, try to take care of them. I think that's my gift where I kept patient a lot. But then on business side, I would like to be a manager or kind of like give tasks to others to do because I'm not the one who is detail-oriented. I'm always with the big picture. And I like to create process that people can work on that won't be, that is increased productivity and minimum the loss. And I know I know that, but I don't know what kind of education or how I can get a job with what I want. The one is that I want to have a fellowship with people, but then at the same time, I'm quite an introvert and put up a really high wall, and I feel like I need protected. And at the same time, it's kind of weird. I do show lots of love to the elderly, the children around me, and to my friends, like my best girlfriend. I don't know why, but I do so much for my best girlfriend. And so I'm not really cold, but at times I seem so cold. I just don't understand it. Me have a double personality or something.
Okay, well, so I got callers in the queue that I got to get to, but see, the one thing I would want to sit there and say to you is that learn how to communicate, okay? And sometimes the simplest thing is to learn to communicate and talk to yourself. Learn to love yourself, okay? But the one thing that came to me the most is the one thing you should do is sit down and look at the five parts of your life. Okay, sit down and write down what you want in those five parts of your life, okay? And where the heck's the book? I got too many freaking books. Where is it? There's a book called The Alchemist Handbook, which actually describes to you those five parts of your life, and I, for some reason, can't find it. Where the heck is it? I know it's here. There it is. She was right on top. All right. We're going to go over this real quick, okay? I'm trying to pull it up real quick. Okay. It's amazing how you try to pull something up real quickly and it wants to evade you in some sense of the word. Oh, here we go. There it is right there. Okay, the first part is your spiritual life.
Uh-huh.
The second part is your service to others as a true success in life.
Mm-hmm.
Number three is the most important part, I always tell everybody, because that's the part that really lives on this plane in some sense of the word. It's your physical body, okay? Number four is your finances. And then number five, the one we all know about, is your relationships. Now, you sit there and take a look at those situations, okay? Look at them clearly, okay? Sit there and look at the situation of spirit. Look at the variety of activities, the learning, the growing, and the realization. See yourself so filled with light, with the light of spirit, that you know without a shadow of a doubt that you are full and a glorious manifestation of all. Okay. Now number two is your service to others and a true success in life. Because basically what it says is that your life purpose is service to humanity. And it's the idea of how are you going to give that service. Now, the most people I get is the idea that people don't realize, like I had a friend of mine who was going to buy a house. She was 19 years old, and she's like, I'm too young to buy a house. I said, who says? She said, well, society says so. I said, if you are in a financial position right now to buy a house, then you should buy a house. Okay, so when it talks about, you know, service to life and that kind of stuff, it says success is the natural order of the universe, wholly ordained by God as a force for good to replace the effects of this world and with divine reality, to transform failure to fulfillment, lack to abundance, illness to wholeness, and discord to harmony. As the power moves through...
What's the difference between spiritual and service?
Say that one more time.
What's the difference between spiritual and service?
What if you're not as spiritual as that?
Yeah, spiritual is like, I thought it's related to service, right? No?
Okay, well, let's look at this. Let's step back for a minute and say, okay, this is something to help everybody realize one thing. You're not a human being who's trying to be spiritual. You're a spiritual being in a human body who's trying to maintain balance between the two. Okay, that simplifies everything for you to realize you already are a spiritual being. Okay, in the process of spirituality, is, as most people say, I'm trying to find myself, find the truth of who I really am, which is a spiritual being. Okay, you have the truth. Now we have to go through the process of the ideal of maintaining that day after day after day, you know, prayers, meditations, that kind of stuff, to realize that whole thing, get to the point where manifestation will be a thing of the of just simply saying, okay, I would like to have this, and the next, then tomorrow it's there. Okay, that's the spiritual part. I'm just saying, success. Hold up. Dry throat, talking too much. Okay, let's take it like this and simplify. The five parts I told you about, I want you to sit down and look at those five parts of your life, write down what it means to you and what you would like to see and what you want to do with those five parts of your life. This is the ideal of sit down, open your mind, say angels. You can say God, angels, archangels, Ascended Masters, if you want to say them all. Just open the door and say, okay, I'm focusing on these five parts of my life. How can I have success in these parts of my life? And just simply open up yourself to listening to the answers and listening to your guides and angels. This is a good exercise, not just to find the answers, but also to connect with your guides and angels that are around you, to see that you have so much support, that the ideal of being a spiritual being is simply saying, I have a lot of support around me, and just acknowledging it, okay? Because I got to get on to these other people. I didn't realize there was so many people in here in the process of talking to you. So, but you know, please sit down sometime if you want to call me sometime and just ask a couple questions or something like that. Be more than glad to do so. Or you really want to sit down and do a session with me? I guarantee you, whatever you got to work with, we can make it happen. But do those.
Thanks.
Just do that one thing, right? Just sit down and think about the five parts of your life. And ask yourself, mm-hmm. Where am I at right now, and where do I want to be at? And then once you do that,
body,
then you have something to work.
What about body? What's that mean? One of them is body, right?
What's that?
One of the five is body, right? What does that mean by body?
Body?
Mm-hmm.
Hold up. Okay, say it again.
So spiritual, service, body, finance, and relationship. What do you mean by body?
Okay, spiritual part of your body. I'm saying you're a spirit. You're a spiritual being in a human body. Okay, that's the equivalent of you in your car driving. To realize that you don't ask realistically when you're making the major decisions. You're not sitting there and saying, okay, Mustang, what should I do today? When you listen to yourself, you're listening to the spirit, which can tap you into all the guidance that is around you, okay? That's what it means. I say that to have balance in one's life is to have balance between the physical and the spiritual. To realize we don't get rid of the ego, we just put it where it belongs, as in motivation, and then we take the driver's seat spiritually.
So it's like health and the part you take care of your own needs and so.
Yeah, everything you want, need, and desire, you manifest it and realize mm-hmm. that. If you have perceptions that says you can't do that, then you have to work on your subconscious mind to change those thinkings to tell yourself that realistically, you can do anything you want, because actually in the Bible it says you have not because you ask not. There's really no good clarification what you can and cannot ask for. But in the process of asking for certain things, there will be guidance that comes through that tells you why you can't or why you can, and then say, okay, this didn't work out. But it doesn't mean what you're focusing on. Like, okay, you want a perfect you want a great relationship with a guy. It's the idea of realizing that if a guy will come in, it doesn't work out. Doesn't mean that your vision and your dream of a great relationship, a marriage, that can still be obtained. It's just realizing that the components sometimes come in and come out of our lives, and we just have to realize that those are just processes to get us where we really want to be at. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so if you need any more answers or questions like that, just give us a call tomorrow. We'll be on tomorrow night at the same time for 2 hours. And if you want to do a private session, I don't care if you got $10. Give me a call. We'll sit down and work, okay?
Thanks.
You're welcome, and thank you for calling. You have a great night.
Thanks.
You're welcome. All right. I was actually trying to get my... That's kind of crazy, man. It's just boo. All right. We got another private caller, 111111. Hello, how are you tonight? And you there?
Hello?
Yes, how are you?
Oh, wow. I'm fine. I've been hanging out on the phone for a while.
No problem. Where are you calling from?
Washington.
Washington State?
Yeah.
It's a beautiful place up there. I like to hang out on that one mountain. I can always see in the pictures. Okay. What's your first name?
Linda.
What is it?
Linda.
Well, when you said your name the first time, the phone phased out. So all I heard was Inda.
Uh-huh.
But it's Linda, right?
Correct.
Okay, Linda, I know you're in Washington State, but that's a big state, so where are you close to? I want to sit there and say Portland.
Okay, that sounds good.
Okay, so I'm sorry for taking so long, guys, but then again, I'm not, all right? We try to be different than any other show on Blog Talk Radio where we don't just say two questions down the road, two questions down the road. This is not a conveyor belt. We're here to help people, and sometimes it takes a little bit longer with certain people to help them out. But I guarantee you, the kind of attention I give everybody else, that when you get on the phone and it's time for you, I will give you the same attention, the same consideration. So therefore, we want you to walk away with some resolutions. And sometimes people walk away with the two questions going, okay, I'm still confused. I need a third question. So it's the ideal. You get the information that comes across. That's what we call them, angel readings. We don't call them mini readings. We try to keep that way, but it just doesn't work out that way. So it's one of those things. We let the show go where it goes. So what can I help you with tonight?
I just want to know if there's anything that anybody on the other side can, inform me about that I should be aware of, because my life has changed quite drastically in the last 2 years.
So when you say your life has changed drastically in the last 2 years, is that a positive or good? That's not right, did it? Is it good or bad? That's what I meant to say, sorry.
It's been a little good, a little bad, a little indifferent. It's different. Change is different.
Mm-hmm. Well, you look at the situation, Linda. It sounds like you have basically a normal life. Good and bad keeps changing. Certain things happening, and certain realizations keep happening, that kind of stuff. The ideal, someone on the other side, is we get a lot of people. And the one thing that comes to most, this is what comes to me anyway, I keep getting the name Sally. So sometimes I get names, and it's like, does it resonate with you at all? Hello?
You found a way?
I said, the name that came to me the quickest, and it actually came to me like 3 or 4 times, is Sally.
Oh, what the hell? Are you serious?
Yes, I'm serious.
Oh, that's a trip, because I have a great aunt named Sally, and she was a... and Sally's not a common name.
No, it's not. And I was sitting there going, I had to distinguish between the two, too, as well, because I actually have a guide who has actually referred to herself as Sally, and I'm sitting there going, okay, when it comes to me like that, like 3 times, boom, Sally, 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 you're asking the question. You know, it's one of those things, Sally already told me who she is, so she doesn't tell me no more. So she don't need to. So therefore, I know for a while, I was sitting there going, Sally, Sally, Sally. I'm like, okay, I got it. I don't know. She has a very strong energy, very strong personality. And it's like when I sit here and told you before that she's like, okay, she's going through a normal life. A lot of changes, but she already knew that, and she knew they were going to happen. So, Winnie, you're going to start listening to yourself, and therefore things are going to be fine.
Okay.
I don't know. For some reason, I feel like she likes to smack people.
she likes to smack people?
this energy is just very, very strong. What? Everybody's quiet. Hello?
Oh, I didn't know if you were wanting... I thought you were still talking
to her. No, she's going to keep talking because she just, you know... She seems like she has that personality. I'm going to continue. But
what do you think I should be doing? I mean, seriously, I am at a loss. I'm thinking about dropping out of school... I don't know what I'm going to do.
Okay, sweetie. Okay, well, first of all, when's your birthday?
October, of course.
Oh, so the whole month is your birthday. Boy, you're special, aren't you?
yeah.
Okay, I'm just trying to figure out if you're a Libra or a Scorpio.
Oh,
and
no,
if
I'm
you are,
Libra.
The ideal of the month and that kind of stuff helps me out a little bit more with October. And I keep wanting to say 15th. So, I mean...
No, I don't know why 13 comes to mind, but I'm a Libra, so... But I have, like, a Scorpio and Mercury.
Yes, that's one of those situations. Mercury and Scorpio together, that's pretty powerful. That's like the idea of a strong sexual... Never mind. But it's one of those things that there's very strong... You know, I want to sit there and say impulses and things like that, but also looking at the situation of certain things that are okay. You know, the idea of emotions. You seem like sometimes when you do make decisions, emotions... have a tendency to play a lot of part with that, where it can be an emotional situation. The Libra has a tendency to be really strong with you, too, because the ideal of being loyal in relationships, when you know for a fact you should go. So you have a tendency to stay too long.
Huh.
And it's one of those things that what I was trying to get at was the idea of October, and you're a Libra.
What?
There's something
yeah.
weird about the whole situation where I was like, okay, how old are you? What year were you born? If it's okay, because we're not going to sit here and judge you by that, because on this show we have a different perception about age. Age does nothing but give people prejudice to judge you by.
Right. So I've been 29 for the last 20 years. So.
Exactly. So when you look at the situation realistically, at the moment you're at spiritually, and you, the more you tap into the spirit, the more you realize that the spirit, like me, look at Jesus. Okay, guys, Jesus died. Jesus moved on. Now look at Adam. You know, when Adam was created, he wasn't created as a baby. He was created as an adult, between 30 and 35 years old. So if you look at the mentality of everything else, most of us, when we see things, I mean, it is our perception that we do have, if you have a grandparent or anybody who was in your life, and that's how you knew them, that's how they would present themselves to you. But in reality, the spirit always gives the presence of a 30 to 35 year old. That's because that's what it is. My dad came to his funeral. It was kind of funny too. I love these things with my family. They don't believe what I do, right? So we go to the funeral with my dad 2 years ago. The very first thing they say is Dad here? But they don't believe what I do. But the very first thing that came to them was, is Dad here? And I said, yeah, Dad's here. And Dad looked like he was when he was 30 or 35. He was even sitting there in jeans and one of those little checkered shirts, and looking down at himself going, what happened? You know, something like that. Your grandmother, your great-grandmother comes off as a great-grandmother because that's how you identify with her. And that's who she is. But she has a very strong strong personality and the ideal of she really had a sense of who she was. And even though she had males around her who always were threatened by that. I don't know if you can ever find out the conclusion on that situation, but I'm just saying, when I sit here and when it came to me as an energy, I want to slap you, I don't really get the impression she physically slapped people. But she was very opinionated, especially with the grandkids. Anyway.
Okay, you totally lost me on that, but that's okay.
No, I'm just saying with you in general, is the idea of realizing, the reason I explain all those things to you, because that's spirit. It's like, okay, I don't understand that. But does it not make it so? Not really. And it's the same thing with you. I have this certain image of you and that kind of stuff where I would never even thought with the idea of how old you are, that's how old you were, because your energy is just totally different. You have this perception of a 29-year-old. You know, but you also have the maturity of a 35-year-old. But when it goes beyond that, and it's like looking at people going, okay, look at perceptions, guys. Back in the Roman days, a 40-year-old was dead. That's, you know, because your expectancy at that time was about 40 years old. Now, people did live past the whole thing, but their perceptions of 40-year-olds, they didn't have one because a lot of times people didn't make it that way, you know. But, and so, therefore, you knock it down a freaking notch. And next thing you know, you got people getting married at 13 or 14 and doing all these things in their 20s. So when we look at people in their 20s, I think we should sit there and have that perception, too, of saying it's maturity. So, you know, so if you're is the idea of holding on the 20 not immature? No, it's how she, that's how you feel. That's your expectations. It's the ideal perception.
Well, I'm glad I didn't tell you I was 12.
Well, it's the ideal. See, when you look at things like this, and this, I've had so much prejudice with the ideal of the girls I date, because people always want to jump on the bandwagon and go, you know, she's this age. She's a, or, for example, she's a 26-year-old. I said, no, she's not. She has a name. She has a personality. That's who she is. Not how, she's not a 26-year-old, or she's not a 29-year-old, or she's not a 45-year-old. Because I'll tell you like this, guys. I've done relationship counseling for a very long time, and I had a 31, a 41, and a 51-year-old. You know what the difference was? Nothing. They were both immature. They were both waiting on a guy. And all three of them were waiting on a guy. They wasn't doing any kind of work on themselves. They wasn't doing any kind of perception or on anything like that. And they couldn't understand why they didn't have the life they wanted. You know why they didn't have the life they wanted? Because they wasn't taking the time to work on themselves. Okay? 21, 31, 41, and 51. That was actually four people, sorry. But see, that's what I'm saying. And you're sitting there going, it's a 51-year-old. No, I've seen the age thing. It doesn't work. If anything it does, it gives people excuses to run away from relationships instead of seeing them for what they are. If you're in a relationship and everything is working, and somebody says, but what about the age difference? Realistically, with their personalities and their maturity, there is no age difference. Now they're focusing on a number to basically determine what it is or what it isn't. And it's just a person looking for an excuse going, you're too old, bye, when it's actually them running away from themselves. So with your situation, what you need to do is focus and say, okay, I'm about ready to jump out of school. Well, ask yourself, is that a good decision? Ask yourself, is that a good decision? Not anybody else. And then go, okay, angels and guides, what should I do? Oh, hey, great-grandmother, what should I do? Now, one thing I want to tell people about spirits, okay, they do have human influences, okay? So they've seen things from a human standpoint. Now, I guarantee you one thing about your angels, archangels, guardian angels, ascended masters, and, well, even when it depends on the ascended master, too, but they don't have any motivations except for you. Okay, your great-grandmother, when we sit there and say her motivation is about you, but it's also she's also influenced by where she came from, her influences, and how her spiritual and emotional growth went, which reflects to her personality spiritual-wise. I'm not saying you shouldn't listen to the lady. I'm just saying when your spirits and guides, when we have guides and angels, they don't have that influence of human. So they're going to sit there and focus on what's best for you and help you find those win-win situations. Most people who have been human have that concept that it's called compromise. It's a losing-winning situation. And what I mean by that is I've actually been in situations myself where I've listened to the angels and guides and found a win-win situation where I win, they win, everybody walks away having a good time, happy, even with relationships. I have seen relationships where people are together, and we also have this concept that relationships that don't stay together, there was something wrong, or there was something that happened, or they couldn't get along, and blah, 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 blah. When actually, some people just go two different directions, because that's what they're destined to do, and the idea of finding that true significant other. So therefore, it's the ideal of letting down your resistance and just letting life play itself out. Sorry, guys, my arm went numb. I'm used to using a headset, and my headset snapped in half, so my arm keeps going numb because it's at an angle all the time. So, Linda, are you there? I think we lost Linda. Hello? 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 Well, that's kind of crazy. What happened? Linda?
Are you there?
Hey, I'm here now. Well, I was always here. You wasn't. So what happened?
So anyway, I was busy correcting other children.
Yes.
But I was listening somewhat.
I'm just interested in what the situation, okay? Make your decisions, follow through, and do what you got to do. It's the ideal I guess if we only had one information to tell you, it was the ideal, and I get this from your great-grandmother too, was the ideal, what makes you happy? What contributes to your happiness? And therefore, whatever doesn't contribute to your happiness, let go of it. Don't let the world tell you that you have to do certain things, because if you do, then the world has control of your life. It's the ideal of sitting down and go, okay, today we're going to stop that, and I'm going to dictate the success of my life, not the world, because the world failed.
I just want to know one absolute thing right now.
Okay.
I have a project, and I want to take it to Sundance. Will it be successful, or am I wasting my time?
The answer is, okay, I guess I'm sorry, we didn't have a drum machine. Sorry.
Right? I mean,
I was waiting for a drum roll, I'm sorry.
It's something that I just stumbled on recently. It's more of a humanitarian type thing.
I'm sorry, your great-grandmother's sitting there going, are you serious? You think you just haphazardly stumbled onto this thing? Huh.
Well, I'm on
okay.
The front line.
Yeah, just relax.
That's
just a little bit. I'm serious is what I got, okay? Are you serious? I mean, did I have to hit you in the head with it? All right.
No, seriously. I don't even know my
I'm sorry. She says that. She goes, she was serious, and don't take that as any other way it was. Because to tell you the truth, the answer I got was you just got to follow through with this because you should do this. It's a definite yes. I sound like it's America's Got Talent. It's definitely a yes for me. Anyway, I'm serious. The answer came to me before anybody jumped in and said anything was yes, you have to do this.
So this is something that I'm going to do. I'm going to propose to certain people. Is there anyone that I should be aware of that could help me possibly advance this quickly? Or is this going to be something that I'm going to be working on for like 5 or 6 years?
Actually, I get the impression of months. I don't get years. I get the impression that you do, but you have to. It's not like one of those things averting the question. It's saying you have to listen to your intuition and let it guide you in the direction you need to go into.
I am tapped with my intuition. My intuition feels like it's dead about 99.9% of the time. And it's
okay,
not,
then you're not listening to your intuition then. Intuition is attached to your angels and guides, and they never sit there and divert you in any way or any kind of situation that's going to hurt you. It's the ideal of happiness and maintaining and actually accomplishing those goals and do what you got to do. And because I'll tell you why, and I know this for a fact because I do it all the time. A friend of mine the other day asked me, she goes, how come you're such a fantastic psychic intuitive and you do reading so fast and the answers come across, da-da-da-da-da. I said, because it's the ideal of having confidence in myself to hear the information that comes through, to actually know exactly where it's coming from, have faith in that too as well, and just let it happen. And I've been in situations too myself where it's like, okay, you know, I made a mistake, but what I was actually listening to was my ego, you know. And so I sit there and said, okay, what we're going to do, and it's like I said before in the beginning of the show, the true test is the ideal. When things come to you, okay, no matter how crazy, whatever is up with the whole thing, follow through with it. Because people sit there and go, hey, how can I stop second-guessing myself? Stop second-guessing yourself and listen to the very first thing that comes through. Because when I did that, I went from being homeless to sitting in my own shop in less than 4 or 5 months. So the idea of everything changing in your life dramatically has the idea of dramatically changing things on how you perceive things and realize, am I listening to the ego or am I listening to my angels and guides and see where it takes you? Because I know for a fact that when I listen to my angels and guides, my life always gets better. And when it doesn't get better, it means I'm focusing on what I want to do in the true sense of not listening to anything else. And then my life has a tendency to get worse and it just keeps going downhill because I've seen the steps. You know, I sit here and listen to some freaking crazy woman. I'm just saying she's a crazy woman, not everybody is. I'm saying it's this woman here, and my guidance was coming to me all the time saying, you know, she's going to do this, she's going to do this, she's going to do this. I said, nah, she would never do that. I'm not listening. They have no other alternative but for my best interest. You know, they don't have somebody at home. Well, I got to make kids do this so I can go home to my wife. No, there's no one there. It's just angels and guides. That's it. They're there because you're here. So I sit there and said, okay, I didn't listen. Next thing I know, I'm sitting on the freaking streets going, okay, what happened? And they're sitting there going, well, we tried to tell you that she was going to do these things, and guess what? She did exactly that. So what are you going to do? And I said, this is a learning lesson to start listening to my angels and guides and start listening to those voices that keep saying, okay, this is what we're going to do. And the next thing I know, I went and stayed at a hotel, which I didn't pay a dime for 3 days until I got paid. And then I did pay on it. But it was kind of funny how I got the hotel room before the money, which society says you can't do. And I tell people all the time, I've even had people say that too. You can't do that. I said, hold up. What do you mean I can't do that? I just did that. And I'm not giving you theories. I'm telling you the things I've experienced. That's why I'm so passionate about passing these things on to people, saying, find out. Are you listening to your guides and angels? Ask yourself honestly, am I listening to my ego?
Okay?
Because I guarantee
you
it's a good or bad thing.
I can't hear them. Either my ego's too loud or they're whispering. I'm serious. I cannot hear them.
They don't whisper.
It's like I have some type of blockage or something. And I'm not joking about that. The only way I can get any divine intervention is praying to the Virgin Mary. That's it.
Well, it's the ideal, you know, opening up the whole thing. I've seen, this might sound crazy to some people, but the idea of religion itself can actually keep people from hearing their angels and guides because there's structure, too much structure, and realizing that angels and guides and spirituality, there is no structure in the sense there's discipline, but the ideal structure of things we have to do, I had a friend of mine did that. She felt like she had to go through all this stuff, grounding and kind of stuff. She's like, look at me going, how do you do this stuff? And you don't sit there and do all these things. I said, well, I don't do them in the sense that you do them. It's the ideal of realizing that nothing's impossible, and then when things happen to me and they fall in my lap, they're happening for a reason, and just to sit there and take it for what it is. The ideal of I went through the same thing you went to too, so okay, how come I can't hear? But see, my thing was I wanted to see them to prove that they were actually, that what I was hearing was them, and that's really never happened in the sense of like most people would see when they see angels, they see, you know, wings and angels in that way, but I actually... When I see angels, angels are pure energy. It was said that for every thought that God thought, an angel was created. So therefore, they're infinite. Okay? Now we have archangels, of course. And what I did was I decided to go out, and you know something? What do I know about angels? What do I know about archangels, the set of masters, the whole thing that goes along with it? What do I know? So I started finding out books. Dorian Virtue was my first person I was drawn to. I went to a bookstore and... For some reason, I got a lot of her stuff right off the bat. It was fairies. It was angels. She has a book called Ascended Masters, Archangels and Ascended Masters, How to Work with Divinities and Deities. And I got that book, which actually goes in very, very strong details what archangels are. And then once I got the information about archangels, it seems like from that point on, when I sit there and focus, I seem to have a different kind of focus where I can actually feel a presence. And maybe it was because when I was 10 years old, I had an out-of-body experience. I died. I was in a drowning accident. And people go, well, if you're drowned, how come you're here? I said, you ever heard of a near-death experience, my friend? That means you died, and then you came back. And I said, I was in a drowning accident where I was under the water for 20, 25 minutes. You can say what you want to say. But to actually have the pictures I had of sitting on shore watching people rescue me and telling somebody about it later on, and then... I was 10 years old then, but when I came to this point in my life, I started wondering why that lady turned white, because I just described to her exactly what was going on, as in the sense of them rescuing me, so there's no way I could have knew that. But I did. And it seems like with that kind of situation, I've always felt a presence. When people, in crisis and that kind of stuff, I've always felt those things. And I've always felt protected, and I've always done the thing. And so I took it one step further and started protecting my house, doing stagings, focusing on doing nothing but really clearing myself and sitting down and just doing breathing exercises where I just breathe and let go. Breathe and exhale and just let go. And just it was like almost funny how this resistance went down. And then the other thing I did was fasting. People don't realize fasting is just not for clearing out toxins in your body, but it does. You'll find out that the toxins in your body can also work against you in the idea of connecting with those beings that are around you. And I started, since I did a fasting for 5 days, I'm like, whoa. I remember the conversation I had with my angels. They were sitting there going, I sat there and said, I haven't done any work or anything like that. I haven't had any money. I haven't ate in 5 days. And they're like, well, you said you've been looking for an excuse to do fasting. You just fasted for 5 days. And then it was kind of funny after the fasting part and getting that realization, a friend of mine called me up from Washington State And she said, I owe you some money. I said, yes, yes you do. She goes, what I'm going to do, I'm going to call the local restaurant or a local pizza place. I'm going to send you some food. I thought it was so amazing how I got the cleansing and did this fasting and connect with my angels. And when I heard that come through, how much with the idea of what I was focusing on, with the idea of money coming in and people paying me back what they owed me, that was the first person to call me. It was from Washington State to say, hello, I have a solution to this problem. And it was almost like the angels were saying, there you go. Now continue to listen, and everything else, as in spirits and guides and stuff that are around you, you also start hearing them too. It's the same thing with you. It's the idea of looking at your great-grandmother and looking at your right shoulder and seeing her tapping on it, going, you listening? And you're sitting there going, I don't really feel that. But it doesn't mean you won't. It's like saying, just with that kind of realization, you know, start doing some work now and ask yourself, where am I being led to go? Because it's also going to contribute to everything that you're talking about and the idea of what you want to do with this humanitarian thing. I guarantee you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's not all about me. It's there's a lot of other stuff going on that the world needs to know about, you know?
That's true too, sweetie. But see, the thing is, you are the. You, it is all about you. And it, like I said, in Dorian Virtue's book, the one thing she says the most that we have to. The world changes it one person at a time, and that person is you. When you heal yourself, so do you heal the world, and then you always know which direction to go into.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. There's nothing wrong with saying that because you're created in the image of a god. Okay, so therefore he gave you dominion. So therefore it is about you and how things change in this world. You know, it starts with some people. When you sit there and you're in a situation and go, okay, I need to do this. And then just open yourself up and watch and say, okay, we're going to do this. And see where it takes me. And all of a sudden, when I sit here and started focusing on the business, I told everybody where I was going to do it and what was going to happen. It was just for me to let down the resistance to happen. It took a year. But at the end of the year, I was sitting in the shop that I had declared a year before that I would be doing readings in, and that's exactly where I was a year later, in that shop doing readings. And it was like so funny. I sat there and said, okay, if this is really meant to happen, and this is what I'm supposed to do with my life, then this is where it's going to happen. And that's exactly where it happened. And there were so many miracles that happened in that shop with some of the things that just happened. It was so freaking amazing to have somebody come from Ireland to look me in the face and say, I've been dreaming about you. You work with angels, don't you? I'm like, and who are you? She's like, yeah. She said, I was walking by your shop and I saw you smiling. I had to come in and tell you this. And we both worked with angels. And it was just so funny to connect with people. I connected with a lady that came across the ocean that I had never met before in my life. And it just happened just like that. And to meet a soulmate or in some sense, the root of a soulmate that I had like 11 past lives with, I met her for like a half hour. We had this great experience. She kissed me on the cheek and she left. Never to see her again. Mm-hmm. But these situations were like, why'd they happen? That's because to realize the ideal and the process of what I was destined to do with my life changed everything. And then all these things that happened, they happened. And they were pleasant and great relations. They were great encounters where it sit there and really broaden your mind to say, okay, anything can happen. I can do anything I want. And as long as it's in a loving, caring way, it will always fall in my lap, and I will always know the direction, and I will always know what to do. I actually have a meditation that says that, too. Now, where's that book? Anyway. I'm just saying, it's one of those things. That's how I started off the whole thing, was just the idea of listening and asking myself, why am I drawn to certain things? And then things presented themselves to help me understand why. Even to the point where I look at other people going, okay, how come you can't see it? You know? Like they always say, the beginning of a lifetime romance is to love oneself. So, what's up? Let's see. I was like, do I have that book right here?
You're breaking out a book?
No, I was looking for this book I had. It's called... I can't find it. That's not what it's called.
Oh, you can't find it? I think I read that book. No, I'm just kidding.
No, it says Empowerment. You Can Do, Be, and Have All Things by a guy named John Randolph Price. And I think it's in this book where it has a meditation. It has many meditations, to tell you the truth. But there's even a process in this book that takes you step by step on how to manifest something in your life. It's a really great book. It's called Empowerment.
A lot of times when I dream, I don't dream vividly, not to get off base with you or anything, but I had the weirdest dream. It was numbers, lottery numbers on a lottery ticket, and I had every number, the first one through the fifth one, but the Powerball was missing.
Oh, really?
That's funny.
What a concept, right?
What?
No, I've done the same thing. I've given out numbers and numbers and numbers, and either people are winning it and not telling me.
Right.
People, I used to get numbers all the time. I give numbers to people all the time, and then I never hear from them. I never hear from them again. So I got the suspicion that they're winning big money, but they're not telling me. The idea of dreaming. I actually had this. I got this book here called. Where is it at? Here it is. It's called Angel Energy by a guy named John Randolph Price that says how to harness the power of angels in your everyday life. And there's actually a meditation in here, what you say before you go to bed. So you wake up in the morning and you remember your dreams. And it seems like it's kind of funny when you get to the point where you start remembering your dreams and then it becomes a spontaneous thing that you start remembering your dreams again. And then you realize that you've been dreaming the whole time. It's just that you have been able to pull those memories back up to see what's going on. But that book, I got this book. This book here talks about my favorite meditation in this book is, let's see. It goes like this. It says, divine laws are the principles of being, the living energies of the angels, the reality of life, the realities of life, the way things are in truth. The law says my body is whole, vibrant, and well. That radiant health is my true nature. Regardless of appearances, I accept this truth. The law says that scarcity is against the law, that abundance is natural, and that my finances are continually in a state of all sufficiency. Regardless of appearances, I accept this truth. The law says my relationships are warm, loving, caring, and meaningful, and that everyone I meet reflects back to me the true spirit of love and goodwill. Regardless of appearances, I accept this truth. The law says my success in life is assured, that I am in my true place doing what I love to do and loving what I do. Regardless of appearances, I accept this truth. The law says that what I accept, I will experience. I have accepted with all my heart and mind and know that by law, all that is good, true, and beautiful in life is rushing to me now. The law is fulfilled, and so am I. I like this one because it basically goes over all these things saying, okay, this might not reflect in your life right now, but the law says this is what's supposed to be going on. And once I accept that, then everything else will change accordingly. And there's actually this one thing here, too. I like this book because it's got a lot of things that kind of puts it together. But there's also one back here in the back, too, which would actually fit the situation you were talking about. And the ideal, if I can find it, it's called, it's talking about unusual, unexpected, unusual, and astonishing happenings. Wonderful things, working with the angels, seeing the angels, feeling the angels, touching their hands, then touching your hands and that kind of stuff, where it's just like, you know, the angels are right there all the time. It's just the idea that once you become, I guess it's one of those things leaning on your resistance and say it is a matter of fact. We saw about this earlier in the show, too, was the idea of deserving. Sometimes the idea of just the word deserving, I deserve to see them. I deserve their help. I deserve them to, you know, to feel their presence, those kind of things. And it seems like when people start working with the word deserving, then all of a sudden everything else starts changing in their lives, the idea of realizing that what was holding them back was the idea they didn't feel like they deserved it. And then all of a sudden they have so many things that just drop in their laps because they deserve it.
So I need to say that infrequently, deserve.
Mm-hmm.
And quit punishing myself, right?
Exactly. Yeah, to sit and look at the situation, go, I am willing to accept unexpected, unusual, and astonishing happenings in my life. For I am not fearful of that which comes from God by the way of the angels. As simple as that.
Okay. Well, what's that? Work to work on.
There you go. All right.
Along with the word fantastic, hey, I just might make it.
Okay. Well, I can tell everybody else, if you want to do a private reading with me or a private session, please do so, and don't let the money hold you back. Just say, hey, I got this money, this is my budget, and I guarantee I can work with it. If you don't, please feel free to come back on the show and at least express and share with us, or maybe come and get another reading, okay? But we really appreciate you calling. Thank you so much.
No, the pleasure was all mine, and thank you for absolute wonderful reading.
Oh, you're welcome. You have a fantastic night. I left these circles. Okay, here we go. All right, we got 4 minutes left in the show. I want you guys to give us a call here at 646-721-9031. Again, we'll slow it down just a little bit for you and call 646-721-9031. Again, 646-721-9031. Also, let's take a look in the chat. I'm sorry. Let's go look in our chat room and put a little information in here, too, as well, and say, okay, check it out, boys. Okay, if you're a person who wants to get a private reading with me and you've been hearing the whole thing and that kind of stuff and you really want to sit down to do that, then give us a call at 719-632-6257. That number, again, is 719-632-6257. Or go to my website at www.psychicx, that's a capital X, journeyman.com. Our specials this month, a 90-minute session going for $77, okay? Now look at the situation. Our 75-minute readings are going for $75. But you can go and get the 90-minute session for $77 this month, and this month only, so do it. Okay, Katrisa, no problem. Just let me finish this little thing here real fast, and I'll definitely pull that card for you. Like I said before, guys, call the 719-632. Okay. I got 719-632-6257, or contact me through my website at www.psychicxjourneyman.com, or you can contact me through Skype, and my Skype name is donald.reed8figure8, or you can call me through Skype as well at 740-601-9835. We have so many specials and so many things going on right now. You'll be amazed what's going on, what's going down. Okay, guys? I want you to sit there and keep that in mind. All right. Let's pull a card for Teresa real quick. If you're in the queue, please work with this. We'll get with you. I'm just trying to get with everybody, okay? Tonight I'm by myself, which I like it anyway. It's great that way. I've just put it out there, okay? Let's do it.
Hold up.
I'm going to sit there and pull the cards. I'm going to shuffle 3 times. If you can hear me, as soon as I say I'm done shuffling, tell me if you want me to cut the deck or leave it the way it is. Here we go with the shuffling card. Shuffle, shuffle, shuffle. Here we go. Shuffle, shuffle, shuffle. I got one more shuffle on me, okay? All right. Tell us in the chat. As we're winding up this last shuffle, do you want me to cut the deck or leave it the way it is? Hello. Hello. I'm waiting for the person in the chat room to actually give me an answer. Actually, you sit there and want me to cut this deck. Teresa, you want me to cut this thing? If you're in the queue, listen. If you want me to cut this deck, I will cut it for you. I get the impression you should cut the deck. I got it. That's what I was thinking. That's what I saw, too, as well. All right, let's pull that card off and say, right now it's kind of focusing on the environment. It says you're an earth angel who was born to protect, nurture, and teach about nature and the animals. You're also just a natural one. And I also want to sit there and say, hold on, guys. We got 60 seconds left in the show, and I want to thank everybody who called. Thank you for all the calls. Thank you, and donate to the show, please, guys. Just donate to the show. I don't care what it is. Just donate to the show so we can actually keep focusing and paying, and we'll do a little monthly thing we got to do going. So help us out. It doesn't matter who you are. Just go to the website at www.psychicxjourneyman.com and donate to the show, please. Also, with the situation, that kind of stuff, I want you to sit there and look at the situation and thank you and say, may God and the angels bless you every minute of every day. Give love where love is given, and give love to every person that crosses your path. Because I guarantee you, it'll come back to you tenfold, and your life will be fantastic and great. All right, guys. And Teresa, the card I pulled out for you was environmentalist. You are an earth angel who was born to protect, nurture, and teach about nature and the animals and the process of saving as giving a message to the world, okay? Let's see here. Hold on. Go back to the queue. And we also have a caller in the queue at 386. Hello, how are you?
Hello. Hi, Donnie.
No, how are you?
Talk. This is Sheena from Florida.
It's been a long time, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yes. My question is, I am suffering in my love life. I think that because I'm a Scorpio, that really affects me a lot. My home life, my love life affects me. And so, make a long story short, there is a man that I have been missing so much, and it's been 2 years, you know, since we've been together, and I've been missing him so much. I wasn't ready when he was 2 years ago, so... I'm just wanting to know if he misses me as much as I do. I've never connected with someone as strongly as I connected with him. And I want to know if he's missing me as much as I am him, and if I'm going to get a second chance at this romance that we had. Because I wasn't ready then.
Man, I swear. Hold up.
But he was. So.
Drinking fluid, man. It's killing me. Yeah, I'm trying to hurry and get this thing going on, you know what I'm saying? Because I know for a fact of the situation, we only got 15 minutes after the show's over with to actually get these things in before we get cut off, so... I just want to sit here and say that to every, well, I would say it to you, so therefore when we get cut off, it wasn't that, it wasn't me, it was Block Talk Radio, okay?
Okay.
You know, it drives you crazy, doesn't it, when you look at these situations and that kind of stuff. I get the impression that comes across to me very quickly as a person who, not emotional on the face and the surface, but I also get a person that's missing you a lot more than you like to admit.
Him?
I know, it drives you crazy, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The one thing that drives me crazy the most is the idea of knowing a person is missing you because your stomach is in knots. To me, that's definitely a confirmation that you are connected to that person and that person's connected to you. So a lot of times, that's the thing that most people don't understand, the idea of connections and responses, is to pay attention to those things, which gives us answers, and we won't be confused because we're looking for that physical. And a lot of people say actions speak louder than words. Mm-hmm. But also the transfer energy is also an action. So
But love the is love. Energy, is that enough? I mean, I know he's dated women within these past 2 years, but I know that, you know, it's been 2 years, so I'm thinking, you know, maybe he's changed. I've changed a lot, went through changes. And I'm wanting to reconnect with him because I feel like it was not, because I wasn't ready at the time, you know, I want to give it a shot a second time. So I'm wondering if he misses me, why haven't he contacted me? Of course, probably because he's dating other women and all this.
Yeah, but sometimes we got to sit there and take it back, guys, just a little bit. Just take it back and go, you know something? In the process, we have to realize one thing, and I think sometimes we do get a little self-centered when we don't realize that people have lives, and their lives are three-dimensional, four-dimensional. So the idea of a relationship is only a percentage. And to think that's the only reason why a person's not contacting us, and even if they are in a relationship, we need to take in consideration, too, why. If we're feeling these people and we're connected to them, that kind of stuff, why are they doing what they're doing? That's where we have to go back to our feelings and say, okay, what do I feel? And then be honest with yourself, what comes to you and the idea. I mean, I was talking to my girlfriend, and it's like one of those things that we're like at this thing where I told her something, she told me something. Go to our neutral corners, and you're like, okay, what? It's like, stop focusing on them. And start focusing on ourselves and go, okay, with all the things that are happening, with the questions I'm asking, how does this reflect? What does this reflect about me? In the process of a person missing me, you know, that could be. To me, I look at the situation of is this person missing me? I need that confirmation. It's the idea of asking yourself, and it's hard to sit there and say, okay, do I have a fixation that I need that confirmation to make myself feel good that he is missing me, that there was a truth of a relationship or a connection that really did exist, to realize if we listen to ourselves and work on ourselves, the answer is yes. We don't need that confirmation of that person missing us. If we can listen to our own intuition, our own angels and guides, and as they point out to us, listening to our hearts, we'll realize that the person is missing us, and we also realize we don't need that confirmation because we can feel it. That's
right.
What we really want to know.
That's
is what I'm feeling
like.
Really true?
Yeah.
The answer is true. The answer is yes.
Think that we are we going to get a second chance on this? Because I really saw a future.
Is the idea of getting back together. Keith's coming to me as yes. I see the card, reconciliation. I see, now this is kind of funny. We're sitting here talking about this before, and I was sitting there going, okay, I got a card. It says new love next to the reconciliation card. Now, some people will look at the situation as in, ooh, you got someone coming back from your past, and you also got a new lover coming in. I say, no. It's the idea of realizing that when people change and they make those realizations and they make those decisions and you guys come back together, people change. So the person that you did know no longer exists. So this is a brand new person that you're actually talking to. Same wants, needs, and desires, same characteristics in some sense of the word, but as a spiritually emotional person has changed, has being more or being that new person we were always hoping they would be. So therefore, the two cards reflect that and say, okay, yeah, it's a new person, a new love, but it's also saying reconciliation. So it's actually an old person who's actually changed into that person, because we've heard this saying before, you deserve better. I think what that really means is the person that we're with at the time who refuses to see what it's all about, when they come to that realization, they are better people. So we get what we deserve and the ideal of somebody better for us, but it's still the same person who's just changed and allowed themselves to become better. So it's kind of crazy. So, you know, people think that advice is the idea, okay, go, which has a tendency to conflict with a lot of people and what they really feel they should do. Because he said, well, you said follow your intuition. My intuition says I should move forward and not give up on this relationship or give up on this person. And the intuition's correct. It's just the idea of waiting out that period of time where that person actually changes. The changes
right.
that would have happened in the process of being together in the first place happen.
What type of changes do you think have taken place with him that would benefit us being back together?
The idea of listening to oneself. once you start listening to your heart and following that heart, and then you are able to love unconditionally. So then you have two things that happen with just that one, just one change of listening to oneself. You become a loving person. Some people are scared to death that they have to keep cold and neutral because those feelings take over, they think. They're not taking over. They're just being realized and expressed.
That was me. That was me. But as far as him, when you do you get the impression that what kind of changes may have taken place with him that...
Well, you get the same changes. Seriously, you do. You get the same changes go from both sides. But see, we're also looking at two people with different perceptions, too. So you get the same kind of changes, but two people have a different... Their perceptions change, which aren't the same. But they both still allow each other to see what's the truth. Which is his realization happens on a... I keep getting his realizations happen on a deeper level than yours.
What does that mean?
That means it's the person who actually... It's like most women are already expressive, feeling. They express their feelings, that kind of stuff, bad or good. Men have a tough time not doing that, not realizing what's really going on. Is sometimes they have a tendency to experience things on a deeper level, and then they have a tendency to be very quiet about it. And then you'll see that, and then it's like him coming to a realization on a deeper level. And then when he expresses himself, it's just like you coming to a realization. It's okay. This is happening. He does too. It's kind of hard to explain. I've seen two people come together because he has a mental. He's got a masculine point of view of looking at things, and you have a feminine way of looking at things. And even though both have both masculine and feminine, one has a tendency to be a little bit stronger than the other. And people don't realize the ideal that when you get these realizations, there's actually more of a balance there between the two.
Mm-hmm. And you hit the nail right on the head when you said the age difference, because it was an age difference, but for me, I think that I used that as an excuse because I was scared, and he took that hard. So I was like, maybe he doesn't want to give me a second chance. But I did contact him, and he wanted me to be friends with his girlfriend, his current girlfriend that he had. Like 2 months ago, I let him know I missed him, and he said, well, I have a girlfriend, but, you know, be friends with my girlfriend. And so can you help me understand that really quick?
Well, it's like this, sweetie. It's a question of somebody asking you to do something, and the answer is can you do it? So I was sitting there talking to my girlfriend and saying like this. She goes, okay. The conversation kind of ended abruptly when she's sitting there not listening. And when I say not listening, it's the idea of the conversation that's going on, of somebody conveying to you and saying, okay, this is what happened last week. This is how I perceived it. And this is what was going on. So that was the conversation. And then on the other side, she's just saying, I want to just have a happy, joyous conversation and not acknowledging it, okay? And then it gets to the point of saying, okay, why don't we just be friends? Because you will not conform to actually just go to happy. And it's like one of those things of saying, okay, no listening is going on here. As in, someone wants something, and the other person is trying to say, okay, why can't you give me the happy conversation? At the same time, the person is saying, well, this is why, because of what happened last week. Not the idea of dwelling on the past, but the answer to the question of why a person can't do that, because he wants to work things out, he wants to express how certain things affected him last week, okay?
Okay.
And how things are unfolding. So then it gets to the point where she's talking about the friendship thing, and I said, no, this is how it works. I said, I can't be friends with you. Why? Because reality says, and this is the truth of the matter, is we have gone past that point. We've crossed those boundaries, and I will always see you and feel, and it's like being honest with yourself. My angels and guides have said this is supposed to be a marriage. This is supposed to be a romantic relationship. Not
right.
A friendship.
Right.
This will be best friends, girlfriend, boyfriend, and then marriage, husband, wife, kids, family, that kind of thing, okay? That's the reality. That's the truth. It's crossed the boundaries. That's where it's at. It's a relationship, okay?
Right, but
so
what
I said, I can't be friends with you because I will never see you as a friend.
Right.
I will always see
I
you as my girlfriend, my wife, my best friend, those things. Like, you can't go backwards. And so I said, if that's the direction you want to take it in, I cannot do that. So therefore, you're asking me
to
give in. I'm just saying she's asking me to give in. She's asking me to sacrifice my feelings in favor of a friendship. At the same time, she denied me of the other part. Or she's trying to, because she doesn't want to face it. Now, what I'm saying is, I understand you made a mistake, but still, honestly, you have to be honest with yourself. Can you do that?
No.
Now, he's not just asking you to be friends with him. He's asking you to be friends with his girlfriend. Every time you look at this situation, you're going to go, this is hurtful. And the only person who's hurting anybody is you, because you put yourself in that situation. So you have to be honest with yourself, like I did. I told her flat out, I can't do that. And then when she came back and said, well, until you can be friends and have a good conversation, call me. I had to sit there and say, no. How I feel is when you're ready to be a girlfriend and have a real relationship, you call me and you put it off. Okay, now in your situation, when you look at those situations, it's truth. You have to be honest and respectful to yourself, because at that moment, the person realistically is not. They want you in their life. He jumped the gun. You know, seriously, I mean, we look at the situation, be friends with my girlfriend, and you're asking yourself, why?
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with asking that question, because you're sitting there going, why does he want me to be friends? Because I felt like in my situation, the reason she wanted to be friends, in case she came up